Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our Blaine field hearing. It's wonderful to be here. I'm Frank Hornstein, the chair of the Transportation, Finance, and Policy Division in the Minnesota House of Representatives. We will be hearing a number of bills today, and we also have testimony from the public as well. And before we start, I wanted to have an opportunity to have the members of our committee introduce themselves and where they're from, and then we'll move forward with our agenda. So thank you, everyone, for coming today, and good morning. And we can start here with Representative Mason. And members, I would just ask you to, if you want your microphones active, which I would strongly recommend, press down, and then when the green light is on, your microphone will be working.
Wasn't working.
So maybe try one more time, Representative Mason.
Good morning. I'm Sandra Mason. I represent District 51A, which is most of Eagan west of 35E and then all of northern Burnsville.
Good morning. I'm Representative Michael Nelson. I represent 40A, which is Brooklyn Park, basically south of 85th Avenue North.
I'm Steve Elkins. I represent District 49B. I live in Bloomington. The district also includes parts of Edina, Minnetonka, and Eden Prairie. And the last time I was here was for the same exactly same kind of thing, except wearing a Met Council hat.
Oh, wow.
That's
okay.
Right. Good morning and welcome. I'm Connie Bernardi, and I'm very proud to have represented Blaine in the past, and it's part of my stomping ground. I grew up in the Spring Lake Park School District. I continue to represent Anoka County, Ramsey County, as well as Anoka Hennepin School District and Spring Lake Park School District. So I'm really happy to be here, and once a legislator for Blaine, always a legislator for Blaine. Thank you.
Good morning, I'm Erin Cagle. I represent 37A, which includes Blaine, the southern half of Blaine, Coon Rapids, and Spring Lake Park. Thank you.
And good morning again. I'm Frank Hornstein. My district is 61A, which is parts of downtown and southwest Minneapolis.
Good morning, everyone. My name is John Howe. I'm the committee administrator, so I'll be helping get testimony running smoothly today. Thank you.
Good morning. Paul Torkelson, District 16B, representing all of Brown County, most of Redwood County, and a little bit of Renville County, and Republican lead on the committee.
Thank you for coming today and sharing your thoughts. I'm John Petersburg. I represent a district south of here, Owatonna, Waseca, 24A.
Good morning. Thank you for being here. Representative John Heinrich, representing the district of 35A, which is the cities of Ramsey and Anoka.
Good morning, I'm Linda Runbeck, and I represent three precincts in Blaine, and also Circle Pines, Centerville, Lionel Lakes, and a portion of Hugo, as well as Centerville. So happy to be here.
Hello, everyone. My name's Nolan West. We are in my district right now. I represent most of Blaine, so east of University or west of Lexington, except for a good chunk of Blaine around Northtown. Representative Cagle represents them there. But thanks for coming out, and please talk a lot about how we need money for Highway 65, because we need to get that fixed.
And we have several additional staff people, too, who I'd like them to introduce themselves. And I really want to thank our staff. We've had a very busy week in the committee, a late-night hearing last night and earlier field hearing this week, and they have been incredible. It takes a lot of work to organize these events, and so particular thank you to Mr. Howe. But why don't we start with Ms. Stephen here, and then we'll move around to our nonpartisan staff and have our senator from this area introduce themselves, and as well as Mr. Marble. So, Ms. Stephen.
Senator Jerry Newton, I represent Blaine, Coon Rapids, Spring Lake Park, and welcome you all. I've watched them all. I stayed up until 10 after 11 watching you all start session and didn't miss it at all. So.
And Senator Newton will have more formal welcoming remarks in just a couple of minutes.
Joe Marble, committee researcher for the House GOP.
Jennifer Nelson, I'm the DFL researcher for the Transportation Committee.
Great. Well, thank you so much. We have one agenda item that I'd like to just get to here before we have some additional introductory remarks from local folks. We have minutes from a field hearing we had earlier this week in North Minneapolis on February 26th, and I would call on Representative Petersburg for a motion to approve the minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And before I make that motion, I just want to make sure that everybody around the table has verified their attendance to make sure that that is correct. Seeing no other corrections, Mr. Chair, I would like to move the February 26th minutes.
So moved. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the motion prevails. So before we get to our bills, we have several local officials that wanted to welcome you as well. And I'll just note that as we were going around the room and folks are doing their introductions, I calculated that 28% of our committee is comprised of northern suburban members in this immediate area. And so you are well represented on both sides of the aisle. We have really some excellent folks, new people, experienced people, and so I'm very, very proud of the group here that you have sent to the state legislature. So I'd like to start with Senator Newton, if you wanted to come more formally and you, wherever you feel most comfortable. Representative Cagle reminded me that you got your start in the Minnesota House, so we...
I am what's known as House
Speaker. Yeah, that's right. Well, well, welcome to the committee, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have a lot of projects that we're working on here in the North Metro area. Of course, we've been working for several months now on Highway 65 and Highway 47, trying to not only improve the flow of traffic, but to improve the safety. We have some of the worst accident rates anywhere in the state, on especially on Highway 47. We're also trying to improve, and I'm sure we'll see the bills here. I'm on several of the bills as being the House author. But to widen Highway 10 from Hanson Boulevard to Round Lake Boulevard, and then to make further improvements on Highway 10 as we go through Anoka and the city of Ramsey. Highway 10 is a major thoroughfare and has as much traffic as 35W at certain times. So we've got to make sure that we improve that highway and work on those bills. And then a new bill that we're working on has to do with East River Road, and that's to improve the access onto Highway 610 from East River Road. So that's, you know, in within my area, those are the major things that we're looking at.
Thank you. We really appreciate your partnership with our committee. So
thank you.
Thanks so
thank
much.
You, Mr. Chair.
And I'm very, very happy to now call on Blaine Mayor Tom Ryan, who's also been a fantastic champion of transportation and infrastructure, and we appreciate your opening your house to us.
All right.
And thank you very much for being here.
Thank you. Welcome to the House Transportation Committee, to everybody in the room, and we're going to hold the snow off until like 1 o'clock, so you don't have to get caught in that traffic. But just going to say, I just started my 33rd year here, so I've had a chance to work on all the roads, whether it's interstate or with the Crossing Coalition, the Highway 65, 33 years of trying to improve that, the four bridges and the things. And it's just a different time and a different part of our generation here. But there's so many issues up here with the highway. I'm actually on the coalition that now that works with Highway 65 out of Cambridge. We meet continuously out of there. And the pressure now is coming from outside of Blaine, that people cannot get through Blaine. And what moved the last time that we met and got transportation needs that we needed were the business people getting into the room with a lot of our elected officials, even congressional people that said, enough of this. And we're getting that a lot from the north end here, that people cannot commute back through the city. And I think the worst part is that I'm seeing now is that people don't use certain roads because they know they can't cross it. When we started this work on the Highway 65, it was pretty much maybe 25 to 30,000 people. We're at 65,000. So those issues have just expanded, and the counts, if you check them, I haven't seen them since the study has started, but I'm sure they're way up above what they were. The traffic coming in from the north, the gridlock from internal, is just getting to be too much to survive it. And I just there's a lot of people that want to hear to speak that issues today, so I'm not going to take any more time. But just welcome to the north.
Thank you so much. Yeah. And I'd also like to now call on Doug Fisher, the Anoka County Engineer and Transportation Division Manager here. And just on a personal note, I was first elected in 2002, so got to the legislature in January 2003, and I served on the Transportation Finance Committee then. I've actually served on it every single term since then. And I first met Mr. Fisher then. He came often to our committee, and I can think of no better champion for transportation at the county level than Mr. Fisher. He is passionate. He knows how to get things done. He engages very well with public officials. I've learned a lot from him, and so I really appreciate your presence here, and thank you for hosting us up here in Anoka County.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Thank you for those kind words. Again, my name is Doug Fisher. I started working for Anoka County in 1991. I've been county engineer there since 2002. I've been the transportation division manager since 2013. And as of 1:11 a.m. last night, I am the proud grandfather of Layla Rose Batista. So,
congratulations.
Just had to share that. Part of my passion. You know, it speaks to our duty, really our sacred responsibility to leave the world a better place for our children and our grandchildren than we got from our parents and our grandparents. So, yes, I am passionate about this stuff. Well, welcome to Anoka County, and on behalf of the Anoka County commissioners who are actually, majority of them are in Washington, D.C. right now, trying to drum up some activity for transportation purposes in our nation's capital, welcome to Anoka County. Cool. I will be speaking on some of the specific bills that are on the dock, but I did want to just, since you're here, to give a broad overview of transportation issues in Anoka County. And Anoka County is very multimodal. Of course, beginning in 2009, we were part of the North Star Commuter Rail, a $320 million, 40-mile commuter rail that serves over 700,000 passengers a year. We have Metro Transit operates a lot of regular route and commuter express services here. In addition to that, Anoka County operates transit services with fixed route and dial-a-ride systems. We also offer a Commute Solutions, which is trying to get single occupied vehicle drivers out of their cars and to use transit, telework, ride share, carpool, and so forth. We're also home to the Anoka County Blaine Airport, which sees over 74,000 takeoff and landings each year and generates about $118 million in economic activity. We have a very extensive regional trail network for those that want to use their bike as a form of transportation. But despite all of those opportunities for transportation, first and foremost, it always has been, always will be, highways is the main focus of transportation in Anoka County. Mr. Chair, members, I am very pleased to say that the state of the highway system on the Anoka County highway system is very good. Our 413 miles of county roads and county stated highways are 62 bridges, 210 traffic signals that we maintain, 22,000 traffic signs. We're in very good shape. We have our own traffic management center to squeeze as much traffic out of our system as possible. We have cameras. We have fiber optic running throughout the county Tyner system together. we're doing very, very well. But as you will hear in some of the testimony later today, many of the issues that we do have in Anoka County are on the trunk highway system, and that's where we feel your help is vitally important for us. How significant of an impact is the issues on the highway trunk highway system? In our comprehensive transportation plan a few years ago, we actually looked at the impact of if no improvements were done on Highway 10 and no improvements were done on Interstate 35W, what would that mean to the Anoka County highway system? What it meant was we needed to expand our county system by over 90 lane miles in a, over and above just to maintain the current levels of service that we had, which is not acceptable. I mean, people want to be on the trunk highway system. If they peel off that to go on the county road system and our system fails, they're driving through neighborhoods. You know, we want those trips to stay on the right system, the interstate system, the U.S. highway system, the trunk highway system. You know, and that was a few years ago. I am very happy to report that we have made some good news, and I'll refer to the one map that I handed out. Project A on Interstate 35W, this summer we'll begin construction of the 35W MinPass project, essentially from Lexington Avenue right here in Blaine to Trunk Highway 36 in Roseville. That's a huge, huge win for us. The work that's going on Project B up in Columbus, up in the Forest Lake area, we're partly through construction of a four-lane divergent diamond interchange to reduce the congestion levels there. And we're willing to try innovative, low-cost, high-benefit things. In Project C, up in East Bethel area on the map, you can see we will be building in conjunction with MnDOT. Well, MnDOT's building it in conjunction with us in the city of East Bethel, the very first signalized reduced conflict intersection in the state of Minnesota. So it's an at-grade improvement, but it'll be the first signalized ones. You may have seen some unsignalized ones, but because of the traffic volumes, this will be signalized. So we're trying to do everything we can to squeeze the most out of the system as we can, and we're excited about that. But we still have needs. How have we been able to do some of these very important improvement projects in Anoka County? And I would say, through your help, we have used state bonding, especially general obligation bonding through the local road improvement program, to accomplish a lot of our successes. And I did want to point some of those out. On the map out in the city of Ramsey on the, towards Elk River, Project O, it's the Armstrong Interchange at Highway 10, we used $8 million of general obligation bonding through the local road improvement program to accomplish that $42 million project. We didn't ask for everything, but we asked for enough to help us get that project done. Again, project up in Columbus, B again, we used $9 million of bonding to do the local road improvements associated with the trunk highway improvement. Map on E in Coon Rapids, we used $12.6 million of bonding to do a railroad grade separation at one of the busiest rail crossings in the state of Minnesota. Thank you for that. Project F in Ramsey, another railroad grade separation. We got two bonding, one for engineering and one for right-of-way acquisition to move that grade separation along. And then finally, Project G in the city of Anoka. Last year, in the last year's legislative session, $15 million was the final funding piece for an $82 million reconstruction project on Highway 10 in the city of Anoka. That is moving us to full funding, and we are moving full steam ahead for construction in 2022. So thank you for that. Obviously, you're going to hear some bad news about some of the problems we have, and some of the bills today are going to try and address some of those problems. We still have issues on Highway 10 in the city of Ramsey and Coon Rapids. We're going to talk a little bit later today about a project on Highway 610. Everybody thinks that 610 finally went from 35W and it connected last year to Interstate 94. We're not done yet. There's still a full access movement we need to do in Maple Grove, and we need full access connections in Coon Rapids. So There's a lot of celebration and a lot of momentum, and we want to keep that going, and we'll be talking about the piece in Coon Rapids later today. Obviously, Highway 65 in Blaine is becoming one of our biggest issues. I can just relate to that by saying the traffic volumes on Highway 65 in Blaine are very similar to the traffic volumes on Interstate 35W in Blaine. And if you can imagine a traffic signal every half mile or mile on Interstate 35W, that's the problem that we're experiencing here in Blaine. So, Mr. Chair, thank you again for this opportunity to talk. I'll be back up here in a few minutes to go into a little bit more detail. But again, I just wanted to welcome you, give you a broad overview of, you know, I know you hear a lot of the problems. I did want to stress some of the successes that we have had and continue to have, and I look forward to more successes in the future working with this body and the rest of the legislature. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Mr. Fisher. And we will, members will have an opportunity to ask him questions or engage with him on some of these specific bills. So we do want to get to those bills quickly so that we can have time for the public to testify as well. I just want to announce that in terms of these bills, we won't be taking formal action in terms of passing them out of the committee today. We will hear them and lay them over for a future consideration in the finance bill that the committee will be putting together over the next month or so. And some of these are bonding requests, as Mr. Fisher had mentioned. Bonding is an important piece of our transportation finance puzzle here in the state. And some of these bills will be, discussed in our committee as well as the Capital Investment Committee. So, and our authors here will indicate if it's a bonding bill or not. So, Representative Petersburg.
Mr. Chair, the rest of the people seem to be, the mics seem to be working a little bit better. You're a little bit weak, so you may want to ask if you're being heard well enough or not.
Am I being heard well? No? Okay. Let's see. I'll probably borrow Mr. Howe's then.
Maybe you just need to move the mic closer, too, because these aren't very sensitive.
This better? Okay. Is this better? Ah, okay. Thank you, Mr. Petersburg. Well, let's do those introductions again. No, I'm joking. All right, well, our first bill on the agenda is House File 1654, Representative Bernardi. And I'm going to ask our members to keep their presentations and their testifiers as short as possible because we have a number of bills, and we will also, of course, have questions from the committee. So welcome to your committee, Representative Bernardi. And if you want to move House File 1654 to be laid over for possible inclusion in the Transportation Finance Bill.
I would love to, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move House File 1654 for possible inclusion in the Transportation Finance Omnibus Bill.
You can proceed.
Or in Policy Bill, whatever bill that you are going to be concocting.
Finance bill.
Okay, thank you. Well, first, before I begin, I forgot to give a shout out to the other communities I represent, which is New Brighton, Fridley, and Spring Lake Park. And thank you for the opportunity to be here before the committee and what I feel like is my hometown where I grew up. Not exactly my hometown, but it's where a lot of my friends lived and where we hung out. So this bill today is super important for transportation in Minnesota in general and how we handle really dire situations when people are actually dying on our roadways. This bill focuses on creating funding to target safety improvements to pedestrian and non-motorized traffic safety, engineering evaluations, and examine road safety and surrounding road networks impacts and on road projects identified in an engineering evaluation. It's focused in areas where they meet requirements, and unfortunately no area would really want to have to receive this money because in our area, in the Fridley and even Columbia Heights all the way up through Spring Lake Park and Fridley, which are joined up to Blaine and Coon Rapids. We have had in when Representative Erin Cagle and I have been working on this together, so she has a bill coming up, and I thought she was going first, so I had prepared my testimony a little bit different. But what I want to say is she's been a tenacious on this too and helping to save lives. And so what we experienced when we started working on this and learned about is that we knew that there was a major problem, but there were, in an 18-month period, we were told by MnDOT that there were 9 deaths on this roadway, and most of them were pedestrians. And I have gone to too many funerals, and for funerals where people have been on motorcycles, have died, have been pedestrians who have even been on a skateboard, people, friends, have been injured on this roadway. It's very dangerous in this corridor and these types of systems in which this funding would target. So it's not, I'm talking about my experience in the community in which I live and how funding is needed, but this would go broader in the state, and I did not put a dollar amount because the committee could decide how much it would want to attribute in that fund. But one of the requirements for this is that it is a minor arterial, which are high-speed roads that are non-interstates or other controlled access highways and who have experienced at least one pedestrian fatality in each year for 2016, 17, and 18. What this does is looks at a holistic view of a corridor. Rather than being reactive, it's being proactive, and literally, I believe, will help to save lives. This corridor, in many of these corridors that are facing this issue, or the corridors that face this issue, are getting the issues between people that are driving and people are using non-motorized transportation in the area. And there becomes conflicts, and it really needs special attention. It's not necessarily about a new bridge or new pavement, but it's about creating a roadway that allows all users to use it and doesn't kill people or seriously injure people. So I have two testifiers today who can testify. They live in communities in which this issue is a major concern. So I will start with our Spring Lake Park City Manager here, and he will introduce himself.
Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
You bet. Thank you very much. My name is Daniel Buchholz. I'm the City Administrator for the City of Spring Lake Park. And thank you for coming up to our area here and up here in Blaine. So we're in support of this bill because we desperately need resources for these corridors. With Trunk Highway 47, University Avenue is the one that I think of. And I knew it was bad when every so often I'd get an ICR where our police chief would provide me a report saying that there was a traffic fatality, but I didn't realize, or a pedestrian fatality, but I didn't realize how bad it was until we had gone through a road safety audit for this corridor and realized from 2013 to 2018, there were 11 pedestrian fatalities and 20 serious injuries on University Avenue between the, Anoka Hennepin line up to 85th Avenue in Blaine. That's a lot. It's a very dangerous roadway. It was never constructed to accommodate the pedestrian traffic that's on there right now. And whether it's poorly lit intersections for pedestrians trying to cross State Highway 47, or if it's having to walk on a shoulder to get to a bus stop on a high-speed arterial, There's a lot of potential for danger, and we've seen that. So any resources that we can get, and this bill will help provide those, to help implement those safety improvements is critical to the safety of our residents.
Thank you very much, Mr. Buchholz. Are there any questions from the committee for Mr. Buchholz? Okay, thank you. Next testifier.
Okay, thank you. And before I do that, I really want to ask Representative Cagle if she would come down here. I thought she was going to be first on the agenda. We are working together on different legislation to help make our roadway safer. And so she would like to join us. That would be wonderful. She has a specific piece of legislation that I'm also co-author on that has to do specifically with this corridor, and this legislation is broader that addresses anyone who has these types of problems in Minnesota. So she'd just like to join us at the table, if you don't mind.
Okay.
We're co-partners in this. Okay, and then our next testifier today is, he'll introduce himself as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Bernardi.
Welcome to the committee, Mayor. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you. Scott Lund, Fridley Mayor. I hate to tell everybody this, but those statistics are a little bit outdated, what you just heard about the 11 fatalities over a period of time. Just last week, we had a near fatality. The person is in critical condition. It was a pedestrian right on University that was hit by a vehicle. And the last I heard, it was critical, and I don't know if that person has now become another fatality statistic. So it continues to occur time and time again. Something needs to be done in the corridor. I'm very happy to see that MnDOT is starting to facilitate four workshops. The first one was held last week in Fridley. We're hosting it, and there are three other workshops coming up in, over the next several weeks, and it is to get input from our citizens relating to Highway 47 and Highway 65, to see what kind of attitudes and what might come out of that, so that we can share that with MnDOT and onto this committee as well. So it is, I echo the comments from representative and from our neighboring city manager that there is some critical needs that need to be addressed on both those major corridors coming through our community out of Columbia Heights, and then it becomes the problem of upstream into Blaine. So we could certainly use some help. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mayor. Questions of the mayor? Thank you. Would you want Representative Cagle to say a few words?
Yeah, that would be wonderful. And I did want to comment on the meeting that Fridley has been organizing with MnDOT, is that it was standing room only in that meeting this past week. And it wasn't even that big of an advance notice. And it's a very huge concern. There you go,
Aaron. Welcome, Representative Cagle. I know you have several bills as well later in the agenda, but we'd like to hear from you briefly on this bill as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. I'm really excited to be working with Representative Bernardi on this piece of legislation, as well as the bill that specifically addresses Highway 47 University Avenue. These testifiers will probably or would say the exact same thing about that bill, so I'm not going to call them up a second time. We're really excited to address some of these issues about the major problems on Highway 47 University Avenue. So thank you.
Thank you. Members, at this point, I'd like to open it up to the committee for questions of the author or overall discussion of this House file. Representative Torkelson and then Representative Runbeck.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for bringing this bill forward, Representative Bernardi. It looks like the bill is focused on structural issues. I'm curious if you would intend for part of this study to include the issue of distractions. And we know that distractions, both for vehicle operators and pedestrians and everybody who's in the environment, is becoming more and more of a problem. And the role of distractions in these injuries and deaths should be part of your evaluation, I would think. Any response to that, Representative Bernardi?
Sure.
Then Bernardi.
I do know that right now we are starting a Towards Zero Death initiative in this area, which focuses on the things like engineering, enforcement, education, environmental things. I know that's not one of them, encouragement. And there's one more, emergency services, I believe. So that's going to be focused on that is. But this legislation is allowing communities that are experiencing deaths on their roadway to focus more on the environment, and also the education and infrastructure. The distracted driving probably will come out in the numbers and what those are, and that could be through education. That's a huge issue that I think other funding sources in the state of Minnesota needs to be addressed, but it interrelates with this and it connects with this, and I can see that being a part of it, but it won't be a lot of the money spent on that issue as it relates to statewide.
Representative Torkelson.
Well, thank you for that. It's not just distracted driving. I think it's also distracted walking, distracted biking, distracted everything. All of us who either drive or walk or are anywhere in this environment need to make sure that we're paying attention to what's happening around us. That's one of the things that keeps us safe.
That's right.
Thank you for that, mm-hmm. Representative Torkelson. Representative Runbeck, followed by Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The only date in the bill, Representative Bernardi, is 2023. The money lasts until 2023. Obviously, you want stuff to happen a lot faster than that. And I'm just curious, on the short-term safety improvements that you're hoping to see implemented, what's your hope for date on those?
Mr. Chair, the money would be appropriate in 2020, so it could start soon. And I don't know if we have time to bring up one of the engineers, a project manager that's working for MnDOT that's starting to do some initial steps on this, but it doesn't do this comprehensive funding. But they've done a $60,000 cost safety audit, and they've identified short-term, long-term, and mid-term strategies. So if you want to get more specific about those, they could come up and share.
Oh, well, sounds like you summarized that pretty well, Representative Bernardi. Okay. Representative Runbeck, do you have any follow-up question?
Not exactly. Okay. But we don't know the steps, you know, this is going to take, and it looks like there's a report due to the legislature, and I just wondered if that's going to kind of interrupt, you know, your progress in terms of implementing.
Representative Bernardi.
I don't believe that it will. I think this was structured well to be proactive and be preventative in the future rather than being reactive. And like I say, I know it's a short hearing today, but we could answer your question more fully with a project manager up here. But I'm calling the chair for that one.
That's Mr. Well, Chair. I'm. You know, we'll have another opportunity, I presume, to kind of.
Representative Bernardi,
I'm guessing that you're going to say that we're not going to do that. But
if the project manager could keep comments to a minute, that might be helpful, but we really do need to
But what I was also going to say is that there is a full report on that we could share with the committee as well.
Okay, that's fine. Well, Representative Bernardi, if you want to call up an additional witness, I'm okay
Sheila
with
Kopi?
That.
Sheila Kopi, okay. She can say her name properly, but she could come up as well. And the reason I think this bill, as many people on the committee know, I have been working on this issue statewide about pedestrian and safe roads for all people. And I'm so pleased that this committee, that the voice isn't coming from just me anymore. There's a lot of people on both sides of the aisle that are talking about the need for people being safe on our roadways.
Ms. Kopi, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Sheila Kopi, MnDOT North Area Manager.
Yeah.
The question is related to some of the short-term improvements. Is that correct? We did do a road safety audit last summer targeted at non-motorized users on both corridors 47 and 65. Some of the short-term improvements that were identified in that study with input from our local partners, law enforcement, and such, were primarily the education, targeted enforcement, doing some signing changes, pretty simple things like signing changes, striping changes, some of the operational issues that we're experiencing at the signals themselves with the signal timing as it relates to those motorists that are, or those people that are non-motorized users that are trying to get to the transit stop to catch the bus. We're seeing that. We're also talking about some of reducing the number of lanes on those side streets that connect to both of the roadways, making the curb extensions for making those pedestrians more visible for the motorized users of the corridor. So, again, that coupled with a study looking at the regional route would really be the next step as well. And that is what I believe this legislation is targeted towards.
Thank you for that. The last question will be from Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for bringing this forward, Representative Bernardi. safety is really a concern for all of us, whether we're driving or not. And I can tell you a fact that when there is a collision between any motor vehicle and a pedestrian, the motor vehicle always wins. And so we need to do that. My question just comes around to when we're doing safety studies, a lot of these, not all of them, some of them are very unique to pedestrian, but some are also have to do with cross traffic and others in the same locations. And so my question is, seems like this bill is very specific to just non-motorized, yet there may be some benefit to having when it may also include some safety issues for cross traffic. You may want to consider about including that as well. So some food for thought as this bill moves forward, you may want to consider that. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Petersburg. Representative Bernardi. And we have no further questions, so I'm going to give you the last word here.
Well, thank you very much. I want to thank Representative Cagle for being partners with me at the legislature and our colleagues here who have taken an interest and a concern in pedestrian, and not just pedestrian safety, but corridor safety for all users. And that, you know, we really don't want deaths happening. And so I want to thank my colleagues and then our leaders in our community as well as our community members who showed up in full force at our recent meeting. And I also want to shout out to MnDOT because they have done an excellent job at partnering with us and helping us take some baby steps forward. And hopefully we'll get the expanded funding to have be proactive and I just really want to thank them for doing that, being partners with us.
Well, so thank you. And thank you, Representative Bernardi. You have been really a champion on not only pedestrian safety, but bike safety, bike infrastructure. And you really have been such a strong voice really for the entire legislature on those questions, not just for this area. So I want to thank you personally for that. So seeing no further questions or testimony, we will lay over House File 1654 for possible inclusion in the Transportation Finance Bill. Thank you, members, for that discussion. Our next bill on the agenda is House File 661, Representative Heinrich. And I understand that you may be doing this jointly with Representative Stevenson, is that correct? Or do you wanna, excuse me? Or he'll follow you, he'll follow you. I love this collaboration here among legislators in the North Metro. They like to do their bills together, so. But we'll have Representative Heinrich and then Representative Stevenson after that. And just a couple of announcements, members. Representative Heinrich has been very generous and has provided us with some treats, and you can access those outside of the hearing room. And for those of you standing, if you would like to be more comfortable, we do have overflow seating, and you can take in the hearing in the Cloverleaf room, just also outside in the hall here. So wanted to let you know about that option. Representative Heinrich, welcome to the committee, your committee, and very much appreciate your House File 661, and we'll move that for possible inclusion in the, this one is going to be for the bonding bill. So we'll hear that here, and then we'll have the Capital Investment Committee, we'll take a look at that as well. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do motion to move House File 661 for inclusion in the bonding bill.
And I understand you also have an amendment?
Yes, I do, Mr. Chair.
Why don't we take your amendment first to get the bill in the shape that you'd like it considered?
Okay, thank you. I'd first like to thank the members of the committee and Chair Hornstein for hearing this bill. This is very important to not only the cities of Anoka and Ramsey, but all of Anoka County and the greater state of Minnesota. And thank you for everybody, members of the public, for being here this morning, too. So what the amendment does, Mr. Chair, is I guess I'll start out, move to amend House File 661 as follows. Page 1, line 8, delete $30 million and insert $17.6 million.
And for members, that is the A19-0074 amendment in your packet.
That's correct. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is there discussion to the A19 amendment?
I members? Have one, a few more parts to that amendment, yeah, Mr.
Okay,
Chair.
Okay, good. I see that.
So then page 1, line 9, we're going to delete to construct and insert for grant to Anoka County for the engineering, design, construction, and construction administration of. Page 1, line 11, delete in the city of Coon Rapids and delete 7th Avenue and insert Round Lake Boulevard. Page 1, line 12, delete Anoka and insert Coon Rapids. Page 1, line 15, delete 30 million again and insert 17.6. So basically we're changing two things here. Instead of that third lane going to all the way to 7th Avenue and Anoka, we are just going to concentrate on getting it from that third lane from Hanson to Round Lake Boulevard. And then we have more of a correct number here, Mr. Chair, at 17.6 million versus 30.
Excellent. Any discussion to the amendment? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, the motion prevails. We now have the bill before us in the shape that the author would like us to consider it in. So please proceed and with any additional comments, and then we can move on to your testifiers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, this bill is fairly simple. Highway 10 lane expansion to appropriate trunk highway bonds. We're looking at appropriating $17.6 million from the bond proceeds account to the trunk highway fund to the Commissioner of Transportation to construct a third travel lane in each direction of marked U.S. Highway 10 from the interchange with Hanson Boulevard in the city of Coon Rapids to the interchange at Round Lake Boulevard. So from Hanson to Round Lake Boulevard, third lane. And members, I direct your attention to the map there if you would like to see the actual spot there that we're talking about. So this is, Mr. Chair, members, this is a very incredibly important project to our community and Anoka County as a whole. Completing this project will provide a big boost to our area by reducing travel times, improving safety, and promoting economic development. Highway 10 lane expansion and safety upgrades continue to be my top priority in the legislature this year, and I will keep working hard to move this bill through the legislative process. This is an issue that legislators from both parties agree on, and I've enjoyed joining with Republicans and Democrats from the North Metro and pushing for this project. I'm also working on other transportation needs, such as funding for improved bridges and upgraded interchanges, as well as the removal of stoplights. I've been working with as many people as possible, local officials, colleagues, staff, MnDOT officials, to help start the discussion and continue to bring these issues to the forefront. I especially want to thank Representative Zach Stevenson for his diligence and leadership as well on not only this project, but many projects that are going to affect our area in a positive way. And with that, Mr. Chair, I'd like to turn it over to my testifiers.
Thank you very much, Representative Heinrich. Welcome. Is Mr. Fisher first? Okay. Welcome again.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, again. I did have another brochure on the Highway 10 expansion passed out, but the need for this highway expansion is very prevalent. Just east of the Hanson Boulevard interchange, Highway 10 carries over 92,000 trips per day. So that's the volumes that we have. And there's been some comments, well, if we add a lane 3 miles, you're just going to push that problem down the road. No, we are not, because Highway 10 feeds a lot of the north-south arterial highways that get people to their homes, to their jobs. People are trying to get off at Hanson Boulevard. They're trying to get off at Main Street. They're trying to get off at Round Lake Boulevard. But the four-lane freeway in that area can't get them there. So what we're doing, actually, by the time we get to Round Lake Boulevard, 30,000 of those Highway 10 trips have left the highway. So we're not pushing the problem down the road. We're fixing the problem that we have, just trying to let the people to get to where they're trying to go. And when you see these add a lane, 494 add a lane or 694 add a lane, you say, how can we do this 3 miles for $17.6 million? We've rebuilt all the interchanges that are impacted by this expansion. Hanson Boulevard interchange actually can accommodate 8 lanes of traffic under it. Main Street can accommodate 6. Round Lake Boulevard can accommodate 6. So we did the heavy lifting already. Now it's just time to do that additional lane of traffic. We're not pushing the problem down the road. We're just fixing the problem we have to get people to where we go. And then further, beginning in 2022, we will be doing massive reconstruction projects on Highway 10 in the city of Anoka. The Fair Oak and Thurston traffic signals will be removed, and that obstruction will be gone. MnDOT will be doing a new Rum River Bridge on Highway 10. They'll be doing a Ferry Street interchange. We need to expand this piece of Highway 10, again, to let people get to Hanson, to get to Main Street, to get to Round Lake Boulevard, to get that congestion off before that happens, because we're going to have other detour routes set up. So we need this important thing, and thank you for allowing me to testify on its behalf.
Thank you. I actually have a question for you, Mr. Fisher, on this. And I did very much appreciate your discussion earlier today about transit issues and multimodal. The committee tires of me telling the story, but I decided now that my kids are out of the house that I would just not drive anymore because I cause road rage. I mean, you don't want me on the road. And so it's just been very fun, and you know, that slow driver, you know. So I thought it worked out better for the motoring public and for me if I took transit. And I like taking transit, and I took the 250 up here today, was able to make the entire trip, from my house to here, except for the little lift ride from the 95th Avenue station here, but more or less could do it. When you envision these improvements, and I know there is transit service on 10, I actually went up to visit Representative Uglem a couple years ago, and he picked me up at one of the stops in Coon Rapids. But are all these improvements also going to, how will they impact or affect increased or improved transit service? Is this a corridor that's being used very much by either Metro Transit or the local service that you described?
Mr. Chairman, Highway 10 is, there is an express commuter bus from City of Ramsey that uses this corridor. A lot of the local, our transit, our traveler, Anoka County traveler, does not use Highway 10. It supports it. But again, Highway 10 feeds the Coon Rapids North Star Station. Yeah. It feeds the Anoka North Star Station. It feeds, our fully boulevard park and ride lot, Northtown. So it Highway 10 feeds those systems. Our Anoka County Traveler with our fixed route and our dollar ride system also feeds those systems. So they all work together to try and do that.
I think it's just important as we contemplate these road projects also see that there are also some transit benefits as
right.
well.
So. And during construction, we do promote those transit opportunities. Again, our Anoka County Commute Solutions, we have staff that is specifically trying to deal with construction congestion and to try and get people to use alternative methods other than sitting in a construction zone as well.
Thank you. Representative Elkins?
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to reiterate, I think I agree with Mr. Fisher that what we really want is for those people to ride North Star.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, we have additional testifier, or a couple more. Who wants to go first?
Thank you, Chairman.
Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you. My name is Melody Shryak. I'm a city council member for the city of Ramsey. Honored to be here. The city of Ramsey is part of the Highway 10 Coalition, along with the cities of Coon Rapids, Anoka, and Andover, Anoka County, and the Minnesota Department of Transportation. This group works towards the common goals of improving safety and mobility along Highway 10 and throughout the corridor in our communities, which we have termed the Greater Minnesota Gateway. As a group, we have identified several projects that are critical to ensure the safe and efficient travel of not only our residents, but the thousands of commuters and vacationers that transverse Highway 10 every day. In addition, we seek to address the concerns of current and potential businesses who note access and timing delays along the corridor affecting their business. Ramsey and the Highway 10 Coalition have made great strides toward our goals with projects such as the completed Armstrong Boulevard interchange in Ramsey and the now fully funded Thurston Fair Oak project in Anoka. The completion of a third lane in Coon Rapids is the next goal of our coalition, and will greatly improve travel times and traffic flow on Highway 10. The Ramsey City Council recently approved a Highway 10 access study and is working in cooperation with MnDOT, Anoka County, and surrounding communities to identify the best solutions for overall rail crossings and interchanges throughout Ramsey. Based on these designs, we will ask for future funding for the support of the Highway 10 Coalition, and once completed, these improvements would eliminate all stoplights along Highway 10 in Anoka County. Previous and current investments by our communities, rail funding, corridors of commerce, Tiger grants, and county, state, and federal funding have shown commitment to the improvement of Highway 10 and the ultimate intent to create a safer and more efficient corridor for our residents. Travelers through the Greater Minnesota Gateway and will broaden opportunities for our commerce. Therefore, the City of Ramsey stands in support of House File 661 and the addition of a third lane through Coon Rapids. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councilmember Shryak. We do have a question from Representative Elkins.
Yeah, not a question so much. I'd just like to acknowledge and give kudos to the City of Ramsey for how well you've leveraged the investment in the North Star commuter rail to redevelop the core area of Ramsey. It's I'm really impressed by what you're doing there.
Thank you. We're looking forward to continuing to build a multimodal transportation access to our residents there in the core, and really improve our access to all of the metro area. Thanks.
Thank you. Any questions from the committee? Excellent. Okay, we have one more testifier. Please state your name for the record. Welcome to the committee.
Well, thank you, Chair. My name is Matt Cooker. I'm COO of PSB. We have a major stakehold in Ramsey of commercial property, and what Mr. Heinrich is proposing really barbells and supports business development along Highway 10. Our main business is commercial real estate, apartments, industrial, retail, medical. Many of the buildings in Ramsey are up there. A couple of years ago, why I'm here is to talk really about one instance that really could have made a big difference in Ramsey. We had somebody that was interested in coming to Ramsey, 300 high-paying jobs. First phase of the building had been 280,000 square feet with 100,000 expansion. Got through site plans, got through layout, got through everything, and then two times the management team came out to look at the site and lay it out, and it killed the deal. And they wanted nothing to do with Highway 10, Ramsey, or anything. Actually, the CEO of the company, exact words is he can't afford to have his truck stuck on a highway parking lot. And so, I mean, you're talking 300 jobs. It would have been the North American headquarters as well as a distribution center. So it's just, you see a lot of growth in the Twin Cities, especially to the south, and the infrastructure that accompanies it is just, we need Highway 10 from the third lane and even beyond. Improve so we can push the development, push the jobs, push the safety. It's sat in its own way. It's sat in the way Highway 10 is since 1980 in many parts. And it's time. It's 30 some years later. Other points is I can name the company. It's Worth Adams Tool and Fastener. Annual sales they had was $13 billion, so it was a global company. So, I mean, they were a very real customer, and just would have been nice to have them in Ramsey. So,
thank you. Well, thank you so
thank
much,
you.
Mr.
Thank
Cooker, for that. And it's a really important reminder. I've heard a number of stories similar to yours. We were up a few years ago along the I-94 corridor, and in St. Michael, they talked about how the outlet stores sometimes suffer with their business because of congestion. But I think the fact that, the locational decisions are being made, every day by businesses based on transportation is very, very important. And I really appreciate your talking about that.
Well, thank you.
Representative Nelson, you have a question.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Cooker,
Do you support the, or would you support the governor's proposal for increased revenue for, because that would, that goes directly into roads and bridges. That's one of the problems we've had in the, for forever, I guess I would say, that we don't have enough revenue to go around to all the projects we need. But would you support the governor's plan for increased revenue?
Yes, I'm behind that. I'm behind putting money back into transportation. So if that's where it goes, yeah, we would support that.
Thank you, Representative Nelson. Any other questions from the committee? Great. Representative Heinrich, any final thoughts you want to share with us?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Final thoughts. There are some other improvements that I'm looking forward to tackling in the future here on Highway 10 on the map that I provided the members of the committee. We do have a bridge over the Rum River on Highway 10 as well that is in poor shape. And so that and a few other bridge intersections through there, what we really need to do to encourage business to come in, you just heard testimony of the city of Ramsey could have had 300 jobs for our residents, but they got stopped at a few stoplights. I wanted to point out when the Fair Oak and Thurston stoplights come out in the city of Anoka, we're going to be left with two stoplights then in the city of Ramsey. And so that's going to skyrocket the possibility of an accident at the intersections of Sunfish and Ramsey Boulevard in the city of Ramsey. So I just wanted to point that out, that this is a project that hopefully is a stepping stone towards a larger, more comprehensive project with safety being paramount here. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members of the committee.
And thank you, Representative Heinrich. And this is your first year, and you've been a fantastic member of this committee. You've made a lot of impact already. And I've been on this committee for 16 years, and I think we've had Highway 10 issues every year. But I think you're taking it to the next step and the next level, and it's very appreciated. So thank you very much for bringing this bill forward.
Thank you, Chair Hornstein.
And with that, we'll be laying this bill over for further consideration. And our next bill on the calendar for our committee today is House File 110, Representative Stevenson. This is your maiden voyage in the Transportation Committee, so welcome.
And I brought my offering, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Welcome to the committee, and this is also a bonding bill. So bonding bills are referred to our committee for consideration, but are ultimately either given the thumbs up or down by the Capital Investment Committee. But this is part of the process, and so I will move House File 110 for further consideration in the Transportation and Bonding Committees.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I do have an author's amendment that I think is going to be handled as an oral amendment. It's just a minor one. But I do really think it's a great way to start out when you come before a committee and ask to decrease the cost of your project by about 40%, which is what my amendment does, reducing the cost to $17 million. So if the chair or someone else in the committee
could. Yes, I will move your amendment, which, members, is... Oh, it's an oral amendment. Okay. So could you, do you have a dollar figure?
$17.6 million.
Okay. And where is the, excuse me here. So that would just be on line 1.8?
Correct.
Okay. And 1.14. Mr. Burris has assumed his... position here, and he will, as is the tradition here in the Minnesota House, we rely on House research to explain the amendment and make sure that we have it correct for a motion. Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chair and members, so for the oral amendment, I have page 1, lines 8 and 14. Delete $30 million and insert $17,600,000.
And Mr. Burris, it's only on 1.8, I see, or we also have that on 1.14, or?
Yes, Mr. Chair, the amendment would be page 1, lines 8 and 14. delete $30 million and insert
$17,600,000. Hey, is everyone clear on the amendment? All right. So that motion is before us to delete the amount to 17.
Is it five or six?
17.6 on lines 1.8 and 1.14. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
The motion prevails, and the bill, House File 110, is now in the shape that the author would like to present it to the committee. So welcome again, and look forward to hearing about House File 110.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I want to start by thanking you for coming up here today and for taking this committee all across the state of Minnesota. I think it's a really meaningful and important thing that you've been doing. I know those of us here in the northern suburbs really appreciate the chance to have this discussion in our community, and I know that you've been going elsewhere all around the state, in St. Cloud and in other places in the near future, and I just really want to applaud you for that. I think it's phenomenal. I want to thank the members of the committee for coming up here to the northern suburbs because we really do have profound transportation needs here, and I will tell you that when I'm out talking to people in the community, there's a very strong feeling that the northern suburbs have been a little left behind. And I think that the Minnesota House is sending a very strong message today that we care about what's happening in the northern suburbs, that we want to make a difference. And so thank you for coming up here and for your attention to these projects. I won't belabor the point on Highway 10. You know, I want to thank Representative Heinrich for his collaboration on this and many other transportation issues that we're working together on. And he and his testifiers really did lay out the case. I will tell you from a personal perspective, you know, now that I am serving in the Minnesota House, I'm a Highway 10 commuter. I take the Highway 10 to get to the Capitol every day, or I would. I'm also a Waze commuter. I don't know if members of the committee or the public know Waze, but it's an app that allows you to adjust your route based on real-time traffic information. And I will tell you that Waze takes me on all kinds of crazy journeys on side streets all the way around, trying to avoid snarls on Highway 10. That's not the kind of transportation system we want. We don't want through traffic on our side streets and collector streets. It's not good for the system. It's not efficient. And so I can tell you from personal experience that Highway 10 is a catastrophe. I took the chair's comments about how this has been going on for years. Boy, I grew up in this area. I can remember when I was growing up hearing about how bad Highway 10 is. It's long past time to be fixed. I'm really glad that the committee is interested in taking action on it this year because it's very important. People in the northern suburbs deserve to be safe on the roads. People in the northern suburbs deserve to be able to spend time with their families and not spend time sitting in traffic jams. And people in the northern suburbs deserve to have economic opportunities. And fixing Highway 10 is key to all of that. And so I'm really proud of this bill. I'm proud of my collaboration with Representative Heinrich. And I do have, I think, one more testifier. Matt here was going to testify on this bill, but you already heard from him and his really compelling story. There's a lot more stories just like that in the northern suburbs. So with the chair's permission, I'll turn it over to Mike Mulrooney.
Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is... Development Company, located here in Anoka County. Here to talk to you today a little bit about the impact of Highway 10 on economic development. This is something that I have some experience with, having served in this economic development function for 44 years, and as a director for the Minnesota Department of Economic Development under two governors. In addition to that, over my career here, I've served as a consultant to cities, counties, units of government, the state of Minnesota, and private companies on economic development matters. Highway 10 has a long and storied history here in the state of Minnesota. I don't know if all of you know that the roadway dates back to 1926. That's obviously before my time, and I think probably almost anyone in this room. But it is one of Minnesota's first divided highways. The section of Highway 10 between Anoka and the city of Elk River actually was built in 1942 as a divided highway. Mm-hmm. I have a history with that road myself, having traveled up that road from Minneapolis, where I used to live, with my family to see my father at the Veterans Hospital in St. Cloud, where he was at for 7 years while I was a boy. nothing much has changed in that section of roadway since that period of time. Other than in the 1970s, we saw highway improvements to Highway 10 going through Coon Rapids. It was upgraded to freeway status in the Coon Rapids area up to Anoka. In 1999, Highway 610 was finally opened, a small stretch of Highway 610. And most recently in 2017, we saw improvements stretching all the way from Anoka to actually Hastings, Minnesota, where that road is predominantly up to freeway status. But yet the stretch from Anoka to Elk River remains the same as it looked back in 1942. That's 77 years without improvements to that road. The time has come to make improvements to that road. That road stretches before there was an I-94, before there was a 35W, before there was 694, before there was 494, there was Highway 10. It created the linkage between Moorhead and the far northwestern part of the state down to Hastings. That's about a 275-mile-an-hour stretch. Now, we've seen I-94 built. We've seen 694, 494 built. And yet, Highway 10 languishes in mediocrity, I'll call it, between principally between Anoka and Elk River to this day. Now, specifically, I want to talk about a project that I was involved with a few years ago. It involved site selection for a major precision manufacturer who planned to make an investment here in the state of Minnesota. It was a 250,000 square foot manufacturing plant that would cost close to $30 million and employ over 300 people in our state. After further consideration, we were looking at trying to promote a location in the city of Ramsey, in one of Ramsey's industrial parks, for this particular project. Upon consideration of all the factors, the CEO of that company pulled the plug on that project here in our state of Minnesota. That project is located elsewhere to this day, principally because of the condition of Highway 10 in that stretch. The CEO of the company explained to me that they do business on an international scale. A lot of their business is with German precision manufacturers. And the feedback that he received is that he did not want to pick up customers from Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport and have them exposed to the condition of Highway 10, because it was not up to modern standards. It wasn't certainly up to German Autobahn standards. It was something substantially less than that and needed improvement if he was going to make an investment along that stretch of roadway. It wasn't a modern type of road that he needed to operate his company. So therefore, Highway 10, even since that project came and went, still remains in the same condition that it did, dating back all the way to 1942. The more things change, the more they stay the same. I guess that's a fitting analogy for that stretch of road. I want to thank you for allowing me to speak with you here this morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. It's a pleasure to be here with you today.
Thank you. Well, Mr. Mulrooney, I want to thank you. That was a powerful and compelling story and history lesson about why it's important. I think the fact that people from other countries comment on our crumbling infrastructure or lack of adequate infrastructure, I think, is very telling. And we talk a lot about how these investments will help us be more economically competitive as well as safer. And I thought your testimony was very on point and very appreciated.
Thank you.
I think we have one more testifier.
I think you actually heard from Matt a short
I know
time.
If he wants to say anything more, we're happy to hear it.
Yeah, this is Matt Cooker, CEO of PSD. One thing that Mike said is, you know, you had a 300-employer base looking. His person he was talking about was different than the one that I just spoke about 5 minutes ago. So, I mean, there's lots of looks, lots of instances where Ramsey's getting the looks, but it just doesn't pass the smell test with Highway 10. So,
very,
very important to note that. Are there questions from the committee to the author or any of the testifiers? Representative Nelson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Mulrooney, I'll ask you the same question I asked Mr. Cooker. Would you support the governor's proposal to put increased funding into the transportation system?
I would certainly support increased funding for our transportation system. I think our transportation system is critical to the future of economic development in the state of Minnesota.
Thank you.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I would just comment, is my mic on? Can you hear me? Really, the issue that we're dealing with here on a regular basis is how do we deal with our infrastructure and our ability to move traffic in a system-wide approach, et cetera. And I'd like to make the analogy that it's very similar to how we deal with water runoff. And we found that flooding is caused because we have had our arteries and other waterways move the water faster, and then it gets down to where it gets consolidated and it gets heavier and thicker. And so when we start improving things like one, like Highway 10, to move them faster, going into town, that actually makes congestion worse farther down the road. However, on the way back, it certainly is helpful. So I just remind us all that everything that we have in our large infrastructure system has a domino effect, and we just need to always keep that in mind. But we need to do that conscientiously and in a way in which it really helps everybody, including Tim, because that is a long time needed project, and I really support that as well.
Thank you, Representative Petersburg. Final thoughts from the author.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just to briefly touch on what Representative Petersburg just said, I thought Mr. Fisher's comments earlier about how the expansion here ties very nicely and is actually a necessary component into much broader system works that Anoka County is doing all in the area. So directly to that point, the county has done the work to make sure that this project will work well in connection with smaller roads and feeder streets. They've put all those pieces in play. This is the final piece. So thank you very much to the committee for hearing this bill. I appreciate it.
And thank you. And with that, we'll lay over your bill for further consideration in the bonding section of our considerations later this session. And you're still, thank you to the testifiers too. Really fantastic testimony. And I know you have a second bill now, Representative Stevenson, but before I forget, I know you're not on the committee, your presentation of this bill, I'm gonna deem you an honorary member because you really articulated very, very well not only the importance of Highway 10 to this community, but transportation investments in general. So that's very appreciated. So we now have House File 362, and this one is a feasibility study. It's not a bonding proposal, so I will move that House File 362 be laid over for further consideration in our transportation finance bill. And if you would like to present your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, this is an interesting project because this is, like Highway 10, a project that has been discussed for many years. But maybe not quite as aggressively. It might be some of the first time some members of this committee have heard about. I kind of talk about this project like it's an urban legend, okay? It's the kind of thing that everyone in the community is whispering. Wouldn't it be nice to have that new bridge? The new bridge is on the way, but nothing ever really happens. Well, I think people in the community are tired of waiting around for things to happen on this new bridge. It's absolutely necessary. So you should be getting a handout right now that gives you some information about the location that we're discussing, as well as some history related to river crossings in the area. Currently in this area, there are three significant river crossings. There's the 610 river crossing between Brooklyn Park in Coon Rapids, then there's the 169 river crossing between Champlin and Anoka, and then you have to go all the way up to Rogers, where 101 crosses the river. There's a very large stretch there where there is no way to get across the river, and critically on both sides of the river and in between those two river crossings, Dayton and Ramsey, we are seeing really explosive growth. The city of Dayton is adding thousands of new homes over the next few years, and Ramsey, of course, is experiencing great economic growth, and if we can fix Highway 10, it'll be even better. It'll be even better. There's some. There has been some planning and some prep work for a new river crossing this area, so it's contemplated that this would connect to the Armstrong interchange on Highway 10 and then over to the Brockton interchange on 94 over there. And I should, maybe I'm getting a little ahead of myself. What this bill does is it funds a feasibility study for the bridge, which for members of the public, this allows us to kind of get a sense of what we actually need to do to get the bridge built. It's not kicking the can down the road. It's the first step in the process of getting the bridge built. And you'll hear from testifiers here as to the need of this bridge, but I will tell you that because 169, as it comes up through Champ, before it gets in Champlain is a freeway, and then it becomes a highway with traffic controls, and then it crosses the river and it gets into Anoka and basically dumps right into downtown Anoka, and in a way that has been, as Mr. Mulrooney said, kind of around since the for decades and decades and decades. And that's never going to change. We're never going to turn that into a freeway through downtown Anoka. So there really is a need for a new river crossing to take some of the stress off of the existing river crossing that handles a lot of traffic. And so having said that, Mr. Chair, I'd love to turn it over to, we have a number of testifiers, including Ms. George.
Welcome, Ms. George, to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Chair and committee members. My name is Karen George, and I am a member of the Anoka Area Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors and a daily commuter across the Mississippi River on 169. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today in support of HF 362, the river bridge construction between Dayton and Ramsey. 33 years ago today, Chamber President Pete Turok started his job at the Chamber with providing testimony at the Capitol in support of this Mississippi crossing in the northern suburbs. More than 30 decades have passed, and we have seen improvements in the 610 corridor construction, Highway 10 improvements, and the initiation of the North Star commuter line. Thank you very much. The growth in the region north of Anoka clogs roads and slows the speeds a bit of business, as you have heard by Mr. Cougar. 300 jobs lost. We need this bridge crossing in Dayton and Ramsey. This was made painfully obvious with the 169 lane closures in Champlain last year. I experienced this as a daily commuter to my job in Champlain. Business, commuter, and residential traffic was at a standstill. Or drivers were forced to go miles out of their way to the bridge in Rogers, as you just heard about, or the Brooklyn Park Bridge to the south. And city police were positioned in residential neighborhoods to alleviate the cut-through traffic that we've heard earlier. So we need this bridge in Champlain, or excuse me, in Dayton and Ramsey. To relieve the congestion on 169, 610, and the 101 bridges, to improve public safety, and to foster commerce and community in this growing region. Thank you for your continued work to address the transportation issues in the greater northern suburban and exurban areas. The Anoka Area Chamber of Commerce stands ready to work with you to build that bridge. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Any questions from the committee? Representative Nelson.
You can just stay here. I'm just here. I'm very familiar with that area. As for a long time, I was the business manager for Carpenter's Local 851, which is just north of the river on 169 as it crossed, and very familiar with the traffic problems that we have there. So, and I know about this bridge, this thing. If we go look back at the old 610 when that was proposed, it's still on there, the connection to 610 and going up through there. So this is time to get this studied and get it started.
Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony.
Yes, the next testifier for the bill would be Mr. Gladhill from.
Welcome to the committee, Mr. Gladhill. Please state your name for the record.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Tim Gladhill, and I am the Community Development Director for the City of Ramsey. So as Ramsey's principal planner, I've been doing a lot of public engagement and outreach, especially as the metro areas are doing their comprehensive plans. And we've heard for decades, we've heard this longstanding question of when is the river crossing going to happen? Obviously, our top priority is public safety.
And so when there is an issue on the main line for Highway 10, Ramsey sees a pinch point. We are constrained by the Mississippi River and the Burlington Northern / North Star Corridor Railroad. There just aren't viable alternatives, and this is a network. And so with a single point of entry, we want to find different ways to move traffic around. We see delays in ambulance response, both to our community, which has been improved lately with some improvements, but also getting to our trauma centers as well, the most notably Mercy Hospital. Again, when there's an issue on the main line of Highway 10, that impacts our response rate. We do have Bunker as a minor reliever, Bunker Lake Boulevard. However, that is already at capacity as well. So again, public safety is our number one benefit, and we do have our police chief here in support of looking at a variety of options. We'll have another testifier here. We've talked a lot about economic development. That is important to us. It is our secondary aspect. Representative Stevenson talked about the large growth both in Dayton and the city of Ramsey. In the next 20 years, Ramsey is expected to grow by 15,000 people and 4,000 employees on a system that is already experiencing levels of service F at peak times. And this community conversation continues to grow, and it's about a comprehensive approach, not just the Highway 10 vision we have now. We know that this is a longer-term vision, but to get to that point where we are on Highway 10, we need to take this first step. So today is a lot about right-of-way preservation. This is one of the last areas that connects with the city of Dayton and Ramsey that is undeveloped. And as we both see growth, we could easily see that area developed. And then if we try to bring in the river crossing, it's going to be ever more expensive and much more disruptive to our communities. And I'll finalize with a couple of additional benefits that we talked a little bit about. It's important to note that the Anoka-Hennepin School District, one of the largest school districts in the area, has areas both in Ramsey and Dayton. And this would be of great benefit to the school district in terms of transportation for its students and being able to balance the attendance within its existing facilities without adding necessarily as much as they would have to. And then finally, this is a great benefit to multimodal, especially transit, the North Star Commuter Rail, but there is a great biking network on both sides of the river, both planned and in place. And so this would be of great benefit of accessing some of those facilities between the cities and communities of Ramsey and Dayton. So with that, I will stand for any questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Gladhill. Questions for Mr. Gladhill? Thank you for your testimony. Oh, yep, Mr. Heinrich, Representative Heinrich, yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Gladhill. I just wanted to say that this summer I talked to residents throughout Ramsey a lot. And other than maybe healthcare, this was probably the number one question that I got asked, is if there's ever going to be a bridge there. I think it would certainly ease congestion and be a major benefit to both sides of the river right there. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Heinrich. Thank you. Hey, we appreciate your testimony. And I think one more, folks. Yeah, good.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I am the mayor of Dayton, Tim McNeil. I've actually been in many of your offices as we worked on the Brockton Interchange, which we are now rebranding as the Dayton Parkway Interchange. I heard the representative. I just want to say I wasn't planning on testifying today, so I'm going to be a little bit unpolished here. But I heard the representative talk about the somewhat legendary aspect of this bridge. It has been on our comprehensive plan for at least two decades as a possible crossing. My grandfather, who lived in Dayton most of his life, was terrified that this crossing would go through and tax him out of his home. He died in 1982. So this has been on the radar, at least in the cities of Dayton and Ramsey, for quite some time. I do want to point out a few things. It's taken us over 15 years to get the Brockton Interchange, now the Dayton Parkway Interchange, in place. During that last 15 years or so, the city of Dayton grew by maybe 200 population. In the last 5 years, the city of Dayton has grown by over 1,000. We need a plan to identify what the infrastructure requirements will be to connect a river crossing, or there will be no river crossing. We cannot maintain corridors and infrastructure potential with no plan in place. So I stand here to recommend that we move forward with this plan. There are many unanswered questions that the city of Dayton would love to understand. what would be the requirements for a road. Currently, the road that is envisioned, at least in the Dayton's comp plan, is either currently cornfields or a gravel road. There's going to be a large cost and a lot of infrastructure required. I will point out also that the Harstad decision recently has made it very difficult for us to actually fund that. So all the things that this study will make clear are very important aspects to the city of Dayton, and we need to have that information sooner rather than later if this project is ever going to be completed.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
Appreciate it.
Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for our record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. My name is Bruce Saylor. I'm principal of community and economic development at Kinexus Energy. Kinexus Energy is an electric cooperative that serves electricity to the North Metro area from Marina and St. Croix all the way up to St. Cloud, covering about 1,000 square miles. We have 135,000 members, with 70% of them residing in Anoka County. We generate approximately $250 million per year in revenue. And safety is a number one priority for our employees. We drive over 1.3 million miles per year providing energy services to our members. Each day we roll 30 big line trucks with many of them driving down Highway 10. Congested traffic causes safety issues for our crews. Congested traffic causes longer outage restoration times for our members. And congested traffic increases our cost to provide electric services to our members. Better roads equal safer roads for everyone. We also believe that safe and efficient highways are key to building vibrant communities. In 2018, Kinexus Energy, along with Metro North Chamber of Commerce and Anoka County, developed the Anoka County Regional Economic Development Partnership, along with its 21 communities, to increase economic development in our region. The Highway 10 corridor is critical to economic development in Anoka County. Businesses are looking to expand beyond that first ring outside the Twin Cities area, and they're looking to relocate into Anoka County. Businesses look for efficient transportation of their goods and services. And thank you, Mr. Chair, for this opportunity.
Thank you very much, Mr. Saylor. Are there questions for Mr. Saylor? Okay. I really appreciate all of your testimony, and I think we've heard a strong business case today, this morning, for investments in transportation and infrastructure. So very much appreciated. Final word for the author,
Just very briefly, Mr. Chair, and thank you again for hearing this bill, and thank you, Representative Heinrich, for collaborating with me on this bill. And I just echo the point when he talked about how when he's talking to people in Ramsey, they want this bridge. I also talked to a lot of people in Champlin this year, and, you know, we live in tense political times, divisive times, and there were certainly lots of conversations that I had that were difficult, where maybe I was getting beat up a little bit on health care or taxes or some contentious social issue, but I could always turn it around in Champlin by saying, yeah, but what do you think about a new bridge between Dayton and Ramsey? I was the surefire winner. So this is an issue that the community cares about, and I appreciate the committee hearing the bill.
Well, thank you again for bringing us your legislative ideas. And with that, we will lay over House File 362 for further possible inclusion in future transportation finance. Okay, our next bill is House File 1597, Representative West. Representative West has the home field advantage here in Blaine. And I appreciate the extra effort you've made, Representative West, to be here today.
I wasn't going to miss it.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is very apparent, and welcome to your committee. So House File 1597 is another one of our bonding bills that lands in our committee, but is ultimately considered by the Capital Investment Committee. But you can move House File 1597 as a member of the committee, Representative West, for further consideration in our both our finance and capital investment bills.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll move House File 1597 to be laid over for possible inclusion. I apologize for being a little underdressed. It's kind of hard to maneuver in crutches in a jacket. Now, this bill is a bonding request of kind of a predictive bonding request, because the last session I worked on getting a study for Highway 65, because the last one was done in 2005, and everybody knows what a kind of disaster the road is. So in order to figure out what we need to do, we got the study going, which that'll conclude early next year, which I have Doug Fisher here with me, who will talk about the details of what Anoka County would like to see and how we can make sure we get that done for the community, because I have heard about Highway 65 nonstop all the time talking with residents of Blaine, and it really is my only priority this year. If I can get Highway 65 done, I've done what the voters asked me to do, because Blaine has doubled in size in the last 30 years. I mean, we're around 65,000 people now, and Highway 65 cannot support that, not in any way. And Blaine's still growing really fast. We have apartment buildings going in, giant townhome complexes and single-family homes. And as that keeps growing, it just puts more strain on a road that's already bursting at the seams. And I'll keep it much shorter than most, because I think you'll hear a lot from the people behind me about how badly this road needs help. And with the safety and congestion issues, we don't want any fatalities to be stacking up. I mean, with Highway 47 just right next door, we can see how bad it can get if the road isn't addressed in a timely manner. But I'll turn it over to Doug Fisher now to talk about what we're looking at.
And thank you. Before you hand it over to Mr. Fisher, maybe this is a question for you as the author or Mr. Fisher. I see there's a blank appropriation. Is there a specific dollar figure that you have? And if not, that's fine. We do this often. Fiscal considerations sometimes have to be researched, and it takes a while. But if there's a ballpark figure or a precise figure, that would be helpful. So either Representative West or Mr. Fisher could answer that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Mr. Fisher and I talked about this ahead of time. There will be a number for that, but this particular bill will look different when we get it into the actual bonding bill.
Okay, great.
So, he can talk about that.
Thank you.
If you like.
Okay, welcome back, Mr. Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's good to be back. There was a handout that should have been passed out. Just want to give a brief overview. In 2017, the Met Council and MnDOT did a joint study on looking at the non-freeway principal arterials throughout the seven-county metropolitan area. And they were trying to prioritize the needs and the urgent areas. And they graded things high, medium, low priority for improvements. There were two segments, corridor segments in this study, where every intersection was a high priority intersection need. And one of those was on Trunk Highway 252 in Brooklyn Park and Brooklyn Center. And we all know that last year that got Corridors of Commerce funding to convert that into a freeway section, which is actually very good for Anoka County as well. The only other section segment where all the intersections were high priority was the Highway 65 segment B in Blaine, where every intersection was listed as high priority. And this bill addresses the intersection of 109th Avenue, which many people may have crossed getting over here. Highway 65 is becoming a barrier. Blaine is becoming a tale of two cities, West Blaine and East Blaine, depending on which side of 65 you live in. You pretty much stay on your side because it's hard to get over. The interchange at Highway 65 and 109th is probably one of the most critical intersections on this corridor. And again, this bill, we are, in conjunction with the City of Blaine and MnDOT, doing a corridor study right now. So we have not fully identified the exact solution that we want here, but we know it's going to be a grade separated interchange of some sort. So I think as this bill goes through the process, you'll probably see that we'll be asking to take the findings of that study to the next level with an engineering request. We'll probably be looking at, instead of trunk highway bonds, the general obligation bonds for the local road improvement program, because 109th Avenue is a county state aid highway. So we'll probably just try and elevate that. So I think as this bill moves forward, it is a critical intersection. And a lot of people aren't trying to just get on the 65 at 109th. They're just trying to go from West Blaine to East Blaine or East Blaine to West Blaine. And this particular intersection, I think the telling thing is there's a Starbucks store on both sides of the intersection. That's their business model. You got to serve both sides. So thank you, Mr. Chair, members, for allowing me to testify in support of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fisher. Well, that's one I'm going to remember. Representative Cagle, and we do have one more testifier also. But Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And it's also North Blaine and South Blaine, too. If you can avoid 65, you don't take it. So definitely well aware of that issue. So thank you.
Great. Mr. Brian Padani, the Blaine Police Chief, would like to testify on this bill. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Padani. Thank you for your service to the community, and please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the House. My name is Brian Podani, P-O-D-A-N-Y. I'm the Safety Services Manager and Chief of Police for the City of Blaine. Prior to that, I actually worked for the Anoka County Sheriff's Office, including overseeing the Criminal Investigations Division, where I oversaw fatal and severe crash investigations countywide in Anoka County. And countless of those were on Highway 65. I'm also an 11-year resident of Blaine and lifelong resident of the North Metro. So very familiar with the area. As you likely know, you're in the heart of the highest growth area in the Twin Cities right now. And we're sitting here today less than a mile from Highway 65, directly to our west. In the past, I've heard discussion after discussion about fixing Highway 65, but the necessary funding has not been at the top of the list. You've heard a testimony today about daily traffic volumes exceeding 65,000 vehicles, even that of I-35W just east of here. These figures do not take into account the amount of traffic that utilizes our city and county roads in the vicinity just to avoid Highway 65. The side effects of one dangerous road certainly make other roads, area roads dangerous as well. In preparation this morning, I reviewed our calls for service on Highway 65. In the past years, 8 years, we've had over 1,000 calls for service on Highway 65 alone. These can be everything from crashes to impaired drivers to road and driving altercations, which often result from congestion-related driving behavior. We've also, last year alone, we issued over 1,100 citations on Highway 65 alone, just in Blaine. And then from 2013 to 2017, a five-year period, we had 953 reported crashes on Highway 65 from 81st up to Bunker Lake Boulevard. This does not take into account the unreported crashes or crashes with no state report that had lesser damage. Despite my travels, I'm always amazed at the delays and safety hazards that are present. We're talking about Highway 65 and 109th. Last week on one of my morning commutes, it literally took me 17 minutes to get through that intersection, one stoplight. There's a few noteworthy handouts that I provided to you here. Hopefully you have those. The first is summary data on Highway 65. You'll see 65 is the only four-lane north-south principal arterial through Anoka County, going from Minneapolis to Canada, I believe. But it serves several high-profile locations in our community that sees millions of visitors every year. This includes the sports center, the airport, golf course. As long as 13 years ago, an assessment identified needed improvements on Highway 65 with only three intersections being changed. Six of the seven signalized intersections on 65 and Blaine were rated as high priority for high capacity at grade improvements or grade separation, with the seventh still being medium priority. The second handout you should have in front of you is the principal arterial intersection conversion study, studying over 370 metro intersections. Of those intersections, 91 were selected for detailed analysis and screening and assigned priority levels. If you look at that map, you will see this ugly red caterpillar going right up the middle towards the top. That's Highway 65. And the last handout are the crash rates, including total crashes with critical rate and total severe and injury fatality crash data. The numbers speak for themselves. Many of the intersections on Highway 65 have higher than critical rates, including 65 and 109th, which has a crash rate higher than critical for both total crashes and serious injury and fatality crashes. I'm not sure how we can ignore this data, as our citizens are subjected to safety compromises, peril, and exhaustive delays on Highway 65. I ask for your sincere consideration in helping to fix this problem. I appreciate you giving me the time to testify today, and thank you for service to our great state.
And thank you for your service, Chief Padani. Are there any questions for the chief? Thank you so much for, again, that reminder about the safety issues involved in our infrastructure, as well as the 17 minutes at one stoplight. That's, again, I'm going to remember a lot of things from this hearing. This is very important.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Are there any questions of the testifier, Representative, or I'm sorry, of the author, Representative Bernardi?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to point out this Highway 65 is a troubling roadway, as we all know. And just to give people's bearings that don't live in this area, if you continue down Highway 65, that's in the area of the corridor study that Representative Cagle and I are proposing. And when you get down further, the roadway has different characteristics along it. But you know, this is the time to do a holistic view on this whole roadway of Highway 65 and plan it holistically. And that's why I just wanted to point out how important it is for the Highway 65 south of here to be studied as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Bernardi. Final thoughts, Representative Mullen?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Representative Bernardi. Yeah, when we were working on the study last year, I remember you brought that up, so we made sure it extended all the way down to County 10. And yeah, it needs more work than just what this has. I'm hoping that we'll have a lot of cost-effective options once the study concludes, and those will be introduced in a series of House files that I hope I can get the support of this committee on. And we need it so badly up here. A lot of talking with voters, a lot of them were saying, the only reason Highway 10 is getting work is because that's for the pretty people to get to their cabins. And we're finally getting work on 35W, which is great, right through Blaine. And if we can get 65 within the next couple of years here, Blaine will finally not be a gridlocked city, because it's hard to get out of here. But it's a wonderful place to live otherwise. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Okay.
Thank you very much, Representative West. Thank you for the extra effort you made to get here. And for introducing us to this important issue. So with that, we will lay over House File 1597. So our last three bills, members, are a trio of bills that Representative Cagle has, another Blaine representative with the home field advantage here. I think I have 1408 first, and that is the work zone safety legislation. Is that how you'd like to start off here?
Sure, Mr. Chair.
Okay. If you want to move your bill, this bill we'll also lay over, and that would be for inclusion in the finance bill as well, correct? Okay.
Please
proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House File 1408 is an effort to help keep our workers safe on the roads. Construction work zones with active traffic presents many challenges to the safety of construction workers. I'm presenting two provisions today in House File 1408 to address the issue of distracted driving, as well as providing an enforcement tool for workers. Our intent with the first provision is to provide for hands-free only cell phone use in a construction work zone. Basically, we want the public to know that when you see orange, put the phone down. We are hoping that this provision will eventually be dropped with the newly enacted statewide law. Until then, we want to emphasize how important it is to pay attention while driving, especially when driving conditions change in work zones and workers are vulnerable. The other provision relates to flaggers. Flaggers are
the people on the construction sites who control traffic. They are men and women along the roads and highways who help traffic keep flowing through the construction zones. Flagging is a particularly dangerous job due to the proximity to road users. We've modeled this portion after the school bus arm law. The bill would allow flaggers to call law enforcement if a driver violates their directives. If the worker can identify the license plate and car description, law enforcement could issue a citation if the driver is located within 4 hours. A school bus driver has this option if a driver violates the school bus stop arms. When I was growing up, my grandfather was a flagger on Highway 65 during the, I think it was Silver Creek. I'm looking to my mom for confirmation here. Silver Creek tunnel construction on Highway 61. And so I remember as a kid going up that road and being stopped and seeing my grandpa on the side of the road. And so that was kind of a neat experience. And I'm glad he was safe while he was doing that job. There are the testifiers here today who will tell their stories on how these steps move us in a positive direction to keep our workers safe. So with that, I'll turn it over to my testifiers.
Great. Mr. Worker, you'll go first. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Worker. Please state your name for the record.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, committee members. My name is Tim Worker. I am the Chief Executive Officer of the Associated General Contractors of Minnesota. AGC represents the majority of general contractors that perform the largest volume of work, publicly funded work in the state. We're a 100-year organization, and safety is one of the cornerstones and hallmarks of our association membership. Work zone safety is a constant concern and issue amongst our members. In 2014, AGC of Minnesota led a concerted effort to change state work zone safety laws. It was the first effort undertaken in more than 10 years. The effort was undertaken in the shadow of a tragic work zone crash on I-35 in Burnsville. As I believe you heard in testimony last week at the hearing in St. Cloud, the incident took the lives of two AGC of Minnesota member individuals who worked for a firm called Egan Companies. But sadly, in 2014, the legislation that we put forward, only part of it was enacted. Again, I'm appearing before this committee in response to another tragedy and a loss of life that occurred this past September on a construction work zone on I-94 in Maple Grove. Again, tragically, another AGC member firm, this time WSB Engineering, lost a valued and loved employee in that work zone crash. Members of the committee, it's time to become and get serious about construction work zone safety and the scourge of distracted driving that impacts the lives of all of us. A construction work zone represents a change driving condition. Driving through a construction work zone demands the full attention of the driver. The most recent survey of our members in 2017 reports that 45% of construction firms experienced a work zone crash in 2017. Again, a full 45% experienced a crash in their work zone. Speed, inattentiveness, distraction, and indifference put lives at risk on the road every day. We're encouraged to see the progress and support for the hands-free cell phone legislation that is moving this legislative session. Enacting this measure will most certainly improve safety overall for everyone. I encourage the committee to give this important bill your full support and attention. It's time to put the lives and safety of construction workers first. I'd like to thank Representative Cagle for bringing this legislation forward on behalf of our association. And that concludes my testimony, Mr. Chair. I'd stand for any questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Worker. Are there questions or comments from Mr. Worker? I have a quick comment. I thought you wrote a tremendous op-ed, I think back in November, that was published in the Star Tribune, and maybe Mr. Howe, we can track that down. And oh, we do have it. Okay, great. I would just refer the committee to this
piece. It is well written, and I think you really summarized the case, the strong and effective case for this bill in that piece. So I wanted to thank you for that.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, next testifier, please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. My name is David Debevic. I'm Vice President of Human Resources and Safety for Ulam Brothers Construction with offices in Virginia, Cloquet, and Albert Lea, Minnesota. We are a highway-heavy construction company, and we build roads. I've been the safety director for 18 years. For 16 years, I've been a qualified flagger trainer and sending flaggers out to our job sites, sons and daughters, wives and husbands. And I just want the committee to understand that the threat to our workers out there is very real. Our folks, I've received the calls when a flagger's been hit by a vehicle. I've received the calls when a worker's been hit by a vehicle. I receive the calls from the motoring public when things go wrong in a job site. And this House File 1408, and maybe with the other provisions, we all know that there's distracted driving out there. We've talked about that. There's fatigue. There's impatience. And although I will say that 90% or 99% of the folks that we encounter out on the roadways are Minnesota nice. They're nice people. But unexpected delays doesn't bring out the best in people. And road rage is a real thing that our workers encounter out there. So getting yelled at and being mistreated by the motoring public is something that's real. And in giving them an extra tool in their toolbox to address this bad behavior is important to our workers. These flaggers are union construction laborers that are specially trained to flag traffic. They deserve our respect. They are standing guard for our crews out there. And their flag needs the respect that we afford the stop arm of school bus. And this bill would help them do that. So I want to thank the committee for allowing me to speak here today and stand for any questions.
And thank you, Mr. Debevic. I really appreciate the fact that you came all the way from Virginia to testify here today, and I think that speaks to the urgency and importance of this bill. Virginia, Minnesota, that is.
Yes.
So are there any questions? Yes, Representative Elkins.
Thank you, Mr.
And
Chair.
Then Representative Bernardi.
So this is a rookie question.
Yeah.
So my question would be, for a bill like this, why would we lay it over?
Well,
like
I was going to, thank you. I was going to mention this after the testimony, but I'll do this now. This bill actually will need to go to public safety because there are penalties involved. So, you know, what I would plan to do, and then for the advocates, we'll plan to put this on our agenda on Tuesday. And if you have any changes or amendments or anything you would like to the committee to act on, we'll do that and we'll move it to public safety so that you can make the deadline. We have a deadline for bills to get out of policy committees on by March 15th. So that should give you time, but we do want to make sure that that's properly vetted in the public safety committee. Of course, if the chair doesn't want or need to see that in that committee, he may opt not to. But generally, if penalties are involved, it goes to that committee. So that's where we're going to go. And we just had a little huddle about that here. So very perceptive of you. So not a rookie question at all. Representative Bernardi, did you have a question?
Just a quick comment. I want to thank Representative Cagle for bringing this forward. And you know, I work on a lot of safety on our roadways for all users, and I think that our ultimate pedestrians on our roadways are our workers, and they are so vulnerable. I tell my kids and my family, do not get out of your car if you're on a major road with high-speed travel, because you become very vulnerable. And these are your offices. And so I want to thank our construction workers and our roadway workers for the work that they do and the risk that they take. And, you know, I want to help and do whatever we can to make their daily life safer and that they return home to their families. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Bernardi. Representative Heinrich, and then Representative Runbeck, and then we'll move on to your next bill after that.
Thank you.
Representative Heinrich.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question is for the testifier. I apologize, sir. I didn't catch your name.
David DeBevick.
David DeBevick. Well, Mr. DeBevick, so my understanding is you said you're a construction company. You run the flaggers. My understanding is, correct me if I'm wrong, but so this bill would have it so that that flagger could report a violation to the authorities, and then within 4 hours, the authorities could issue a ticket. Is that correct, Mr. Chair? Representative?
Proceed.
Yes,
Representative Cagle.
Mr. Chair, Representative Heinrich, yep, that's correct.
Okay. Sir, do the flaggers, are they, during the process of their duties, do you allow them to look at Facebook or go on their cell phones, or is that not allowed, I'm guessing?
That's not allowed per our company policy.
Okay.
Any use of a cell phone, our policy basically is any use of a cell phone on a job site needs to be related to company business. So there's an emergency, they need to contact a supervisor. There's something related to their work that needs the use of a cell phone. That's our policy.
Mr. Chair, and if you could just indulge me, why is that?
Mr. Debevic.
Because flagging requires their full attention. I'll just read from the MnDOT flagging handbook, the checklist is sort of at the end. The number one bolded thing is, remember, your job is the most important one on the crew. The lives of all individuals traveling through the work zone depend on you. So it's an important job. It requires your full attention.
I appreciate that, Mr. Chair. My only concern, I guess, what I'm getting at is the possibility of this bill having up. I appreciate the intention here. And being from the asphalt and concrete industry myself, our crews work, in very dangerous areas a lot of time with a lot of traffic. My concern would be the flagger being possibly distracted, trying to take down specific information from a car after they think that they've witnessed a violation, and them taking time away from either running the flag or physically manipulating the flag or watching other traffic or pedestrians. With the attempt to combine them with what would normally just be a law enforcement duty. And so we're taking that flagger now and placing a responsibility in their hands to do something that I think could be possibly as distracting as accessing text messaging on their cell phone. So if you could just maybe speak to that as an experienced, you run flaggers. And
what I would say is you've got a set of flaggers on a job site. So if the violation is on one end of the job site with one flagger, a lot of times you would have an opportunity to have the other flagger catch the license plate number of the sedan that or whatever vehicle description on the other end, so that they could work as a team to figure that out.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Runbeck is next, and then we'll move on to the next bill after that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Wanted to thank you for the op-ed that Mr. Werke wrote, and a sentence in that is very intriguing. Other states have gotten very serious, he says, about penalties if you violate the construction worker or striking a construction worker in a work zone. Other states, and I've been traveling out to see a granddaughter for the last couple of years, and, other states are doing $10,000 in fines if that is what happens. And Minnesota is still capped at $300 in one of those incidents. And I have never understood why that disparity exists, and maybe somebody knows the history, but it seems like, that would be something we should be actionable on.
Perhaps, thank you, Representative Runbeck. Perhaps Mr. Werke, as the author of that op-ed, you may want to comment on that.
Mr. Chair, yes, I can answer that. And Mr. Chair, Representative Runbeck, in taking you back to the 2014 legislation, and I'm trying to do this from memory and maybe staff can assist, but The reason the $300 fine was set in 2014, we had proceeded to try to make it more, have more teeth in the fine and have a larger dollar fine, because MnDOT research showed at the time, if you recall, that a violation of work zone speeding was fines double. And the nomenclature fines double did not register with people because they did not know what their fine was. And the research showed that a high dollar, clearly visible fine amount posted on the sign had a greater opportunity to affect people's behavior. We started off at a high dollar amount, which was amended in Judiciary Committee down to $300, because I believe a fine in excess of $300 in Minnesota makes it a gross misdemeanor or a higher level offense, which in turn there was feeling that it would affect the court system and affect people's records differently. So the fine was set at $300, much to our disappointment.
Representative Runbeck.
Mr. Chair, and thank you very much for that history. Yeah, it seems like we've got some competing laws there that, you know, maybe we should deal with that. That seems like a really important area that we could make a difference in. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions? Final comments?
Mr. Chair, there was an amendment. Did you want to wait until Tuesday to do those?
If that amendment is one that you would like to incorporate, we could do that now, and then we could get it in shape for further consideration.
I would like to move the A1 amendment.
Okay, so we have an A1 amendment to House File 1408. You want to explain the amendment to the committee, Representative Cagle?
Sure. This for the if there is live traffic in the work zone, this just asks that that there's a bid for the flagger within that.
Okay. Is everyone clear on the intention and the content of the A1 amendment? Any questions? I think it does get the bill in the shape the author would like it considered in. Discussion, Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. But if I understand that we're going to have this bill in front of us again on Tuesday as well.
Yep.
So we can clarify any questions at that time too, Mr. Chair.
Correct. I think at this point we just want to get it in the shape she'd like it, but we will. You know, it was our intention to, you know, do a relatively short but substantive follow up to this hearing on Tuesday. All those in favor of the A1 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, the motion prevails. So we will have House File 1408 as amended before us again Tuesday, and then we'll have more members of the committee present for that conversation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, so we have two more bills of yours, Representative Cagle, and then we'll move quickly into our public. We will formally lay House File 1408 as amended over for further consideration next week. And then we have House File 1310 and House File 1697. I did want to let members of the public know, if you've been waiting patiently, we'd like to get, if we can get each of your bills done in a total of 10 minutes, that would be great, and we can start our public testimony around 11:25. And we don't have a large list, so we will adjourn around 12, maybe a couple minutes after, depending on the length of the public testimony. So, well, with that, Representative Cagle, House File 1310. This is an engineering study and report, so we will hear this bill and lay it over for possible inclusion in the transportation finance bill. So we'll move House File 1310.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And my testifiers are the same as Representative Bernardi's for the bill prior, so I won't bring them up again. But this bill wasn't brought to me by an interest group or constituent. I'm working on this because I've seen the incidents on Highway 47 University Avenue. Last spring, I was laying in bed and heard these sirens, looked out my bedroom window, saw the first responders coming up on 85th Avenue and University. And so as I do a lot of the times, I pulled up the police scanner app on my phone, and the first thing I hear was the first responders calling for a chaplain. So another person had been killed on University Avenue. Prior to that, I'd been bugging MnDOT about this issue on this stretch of road, and I'm sure the folks from MnDOT can testify to how annoying I was and continue to be on the issues with the Highway 47 corridor. Over the summer, MnDOT relented to my many pleas and did a safety audit of the Highway 47, Highway 65 corridor. And as Representative Bernardi and Ms. Coffey stated, MnDOT has identified short, mid, and long-term solutions to addressing the safety of that corridor. So this bill would provide funding for the short-term safety improvements, as well as engineering evaluation for long-term safety improvements of that stretch of road.
Thank you. Any questions for Representative Cagle? I think some advice from our second term legislator for the veterans, bugging MnDOT helps.
And I have a copy of that safety audit if anybody is wants to see it.
Questions? All right, well, thank you. We look forward to hearing more about this, and I'll lay over House File 1310. Our last bill on the agenda is House File 1697, also Representative Cagle, and this is a another bonding bill, so our motion will be to hold this bill for further consideration for the capital investment bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I also have our star witness of this committee hearing, Mr. Doug Fisher, with me for this bill. If anybody travels 610, you know that you can get off on East River Road only in one direction. And if you're traveling towards Brooklyn Park, if you either get off on University Avenue or you have to go all the way over the river if you miss your exit. And so we really want to complete that 610 corridor with a full interchange at East River Road. And so with that, I will turn it over to Mr. Fisher.
Yeah, I feel like I feel like we're in one of those sitcoms when, like, Mr. Fisher is sort of like the neighbor that sort of shows up in every episode.
It's Groundhog Day.
yeah, Mr. Wilson. Right. So welcome back, I think, one final time.
One final time. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. As I mentioned in my opening remarks and as Representative Cagle mentioned, we do not have full access interchanges on Highway 610. So a lot of the system-to-system movements that need to be made in this area are actually not on the trunk highway system or the U.S. highway system. They're made on local roads. What we're trying to do here is provide that full access. And then the handout that I handed, the project shown in yellow is a county project. It's not part of this request, but we are building a railroad grade separation on Foley Boulevard over the Burlington Northern Railroad tracks. That bridge over the railroad will support the third main for the railroad. It will also provide an opportunity if there's ever another North Star station at this location or Northern Lights Express station. You can see the Foley Boulevard park and ride lot sandwiched in between Foley Boulevard and Highway 610, which is a major transit hub in Anoka County. One of the dilemmas that we had in trying to build a full access interchange here in the past was the fact that Foley Boulevard connected to East River Road very, very close to Highway 610. What we're doing with our $25 million reconstruction project is moving that away from Highway 610. So what we're asking for in this request is the $1.5 million to proceed with the preliminary engineering environmental documentation final design for what's shown in green. And what's shown in green would be how we can widen the existing on and off ramps out of the way and put in a folded diamond, those loops, to make that full access connection. Again, we've had limited opportunities in the past, but moving forward with this Foley Boulevard reconstruction project, We feel we now have a great opportunity to provide this missing link in this vital transportation network in Anoka County.
Thank you, Mr. Fisher. Questions? So it's really a lot of, mainly an interchange, looks like, project. So
yes.
Okay. Well, I see no further questions or discussion. So, Representative Cagle, did you want to say one last word on this one?
This is a stretch of road that I've taken quite often. I grew up in the North Metro and had a close friend that lived right off of East River Road. So having this interchange would have made it much more convenient for me to see my friend. But I think that this would be just a really great way to finish off that 610 corridor. So thank you, everyone, for hearing the bill.
Thank you very much. So with that, we will lay over House File 1697 for further consideration of the transportation and capital investment bills. So with that, members, we have concluded our bill hearings, and very much appreciate all of the members who have presented bills before us. And they're all very compelling and speak, I think, very directly to the needs of this region of the state and to the metro. So we have several people who have signed up to testify, and people could keep their comments about 3 minutes or under. That would allow everyone who has signed up to testify. And of course, if you haven't signed up and ahead of time but would like to testify, we can take several more people. And please let Mr. Howe know here if you're interested in addressing the committee but haven't signed up in advance. So the first person I'd like to call on for general testimony is fellow elected official, the Coon Rapids Mayor Jerry Koch. Welcome to the committee, Mayor. Thank you for your patience, and look forward to hearing your comments. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you. Jerry Koch, Mayor of Coon Rapids. Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. I will stick to the script, and I will be brief that way.
No.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members, for this opportunity to testify before you today. We appreciate you holding this meeting in the North Metro. I am Jerry Koch, and I serve as the mayor of Coon Rapids, as well as the president of the North Metro Mayors Association. The North Metro Mayors Association represents more than 475,000 residents in 15 northern suburbs. Our mission is to encourage private and public investments in the region. A robust transportation system is essential to the North Metro economy and directly impacts the quality of life of the residents in our communities. Investments over the next 2 years are needed to reduce congestion, shorten drive times, and keep our businesses competitive. North Metro Mayor's transportation priorities include increased transportation funding, Highway 10 improvements in Anoka, Ramsey, and Coon Rapids, secure funding for full interchange at Highway 610 at East River Road, comprehensive study of Highway 65 to facilitate improvements to intersections and capacity in Spring Lake Park and Blaine, completing I-94's Highway 610 intersections in Maple Grove, as well as improving 94-610 access by upgrading local roads, Highway 252 freeway conversion at Brooklyn Park and Brooklyn Center, completing planned expansion and improvements to I-35W between Minneapolis and Llano Lakes, improve pedestrian safety on Highway 47 in Fridley, Blaine, and Coon Rapids, and addressing barriers to the construction of the Blue Line Light Rail Project. So I don't think I saw the 610 East River Road. I'm pretty sure that's on here. Good things are happening in our area as cities in the North Metro continue to work with our community partners and with the legislature to speak with a regional voice. Great things will happen, and residents and business in the North Metro will thrive. Thank you again for holding this hearing. I invite all of you to feel free to reach out to the mayors in the North Metro anytime we can be of a resource to you. And we look forward to continuing to work with you to accomplish great things. I welcome your questions.
Thank you so much, Mayor Koch. And I really appreciate over many, many years the North Metro mayors have been, you know, there on so many different issues and a really strong mayors association, and appreciate your leadership in that.
Excellent.
Questions for the mayor? Representative Elkins.
Yeah, just to reiterate what the chair just said. The North Metro Mayors is the kind of the template for similar advocacy groups around the region and the state, including a couple of that I've served on, like the 35W Solutions Alliance and the 494 Corridor Commission. So you guys are kind of the model on effective advocacy for transportation projects.
Well, they get no credit for the template, but we'll try and maintain it. Thank you.
Thank you, and thanks for your comment, Representative Elkins. Appreciate your showing up and all of your work.
Thank you.
Great. So our next speaker is Lori Higgins from the Metro North Chamber of Commerce. Thank you, Ms. Higgins. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Lori Higgins. I am almost a lifelong resident of Anoka County. I grew up in Coon Rapids. I live in Blaine now. I work in Blaine on Highway 65, leading the Metro North Chamber of Commerce. I've been doing that for almost 10 years. We represent over 750 businesses throughout the entire region. And throughout the past 10 years, when I have asked the business community what is keeping them from growing their business, the number one issue that I have heard has been transportation, followed closely by the number two issue of transportation, followed then by the number three issue of transportation. Now, obviously, workforce has become a very pressing problem in the recent past, and that's not to be discounted. But if you were to look past the workforce issue, the same transportation problems from the past 10 years still exist today. And to be honest, as you've heard, not just 10 years, but 20, 30, 30 plus years in some cases. And I hate to age myself, but yes, I have seen all of those over the past 30 years and what has not changed. So there are others today who are obviously speaking to those specific roads and issues and the bills to address those. So I will not take your time reiterating that. My goal is to really stress the overall importance of infrastructure up here in the North Metro. We have many thriving businesses here who, to really flourish and prosper, would benefit from the infrastructure investment you are hearing about today. Transportation and economic development go hand in hand. Speaking of economic development, as you heard from Bruce Saylor of Conexus Energy, we have been working hard in the past 2 years on a regional effort to attract and retain our businesses to this region. We've hired a full-time economic development specialist. We've rolled out a dedicated website, logo, and even created targeted industry profiles. But we need a strong transportation infrastructure network to support these efforts, and since ultimately our entire economy depends on the movement of people and goods. And we certainly cannot bring businesses to this area if they can't even get up Highway 65 or Highway 10 to visit the sites. And you've heard stories about that, too. Another hat I wear is I am on the Minnesota Amateur Sports Commission. I was appointed by Governor Dayton a few years ago. And so I work closely with the National Sports Center. And I know just how many visitors we have coming in from around the world. And not just to the National Sports Center, but we have major events such as golf events at the TPC. So we really are becoming a major tourist attraction. So these are not just local corridors of commerce that you're hearing about. They are really corridors of statewide economic significance. Making the needed repairs, improvements, and enhancements to our infrastructure will pay off with more economic activity and even additional tax revenue. So thank you for your time and interest in ensuring that the North Metro is truly positioned for success.
Thank you so much, and thank you for all of your prioritization of transportation issues. Representative Mason.
One of the first companies that came to me, they wanted an improvement in a road near them, and MnDOT told them it would take 20 years. And now that I'm in the legislature, it still will take you 20, 30, 40 years. And so for your organization, which is a major organization, are you prepared to support long-term funding to get the job done? I mean, we know the needs. We know the projects. Many of them have been out there, as I said, for decades. But we need concerted help. We need the votes to get the funding done to accomplish the task. So, I know I could pick on anybody else that has testified today, but I just want to ask you how your organization is handling the funding issues.
Right, absolutely. Thank you for that question. And I think long-term funding and a long-term plan for transportation is something that everybody wants. Coming back year after year to try to work on this is not productive. And we have looked for creative ways to address this. We support 100% dedication of auto sales tax from the general fund and dedicating that to transportation. We've talked with commissioners of transportation. Commissioner Zelli was very supportive a few years ago of working with us, looking for ways we can find efficiencies through MnDOT and other ways that we can support transportation funding. But I would also like to state, so the majority of the businesses that we represent, they are small family businesses who are trying to make a living, support their families, give back to the community. They understand that taxes are important. We need that to invest in our local roads and bridges, to have public safety come when they need them. It is when we look at a disproportionate share on businesses, and so having a broader conversation, not just about transportation funding, but about the overall tax structure, property tax reform, state income tax. And when we look at those, I think that's the sort of conversation that the business community would like to have. So how can we achieve all of these goals together without putting a disproportionate burden on businesses? So
thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other questions or comments? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next testifier, we have Blaine City Council Member Julie Jepson. Welcome, Councilmember Jepson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee. It's kind of weird being on this side of the table. I'm very happy to share my chair with you, Ms. Representative Elkins. Thank you for the honor. yes, as the chair.
I think I've sat in this one before.
I'm sorry?
I think I've sat in this one before.
Have you? Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Met council field hearing.
Good. Well, as the chair said, my name is Julie Jepson. I was elected to Blaine City Council in 2016. But in my day job, I am the executive director of Stepping Stone Emergency Housing. We are the only single adult homeless shelter serving five counties, Anoka, Washington, Dakota, Scott, and Carver counties. I work with a population that is overlooked, ignored, and unseen, both intentionally and unintentionally. As we've all seen this past year with the homeless encampments, and what Stepping Stone has seen over the last decade, and having a wait list of over 340 people, people easily can be overlooked, ignored, and unseen. And that's how the people of Blaine have felt. As a city of Blaine, we have problems that we're experiencing with our infrastructure that is so great that you must give it attention now. We have a road that has more traffic on it than a stretch of equally sized 35W, 35E. We have a road that has five of the six most dangerous and deadly intersections. One road, intersection after intersection after intersection after intersection after intersection. We have serious problems, and our residents don't understand the significant process to get this fixed. They don't understand when we go door to door knocking, why can't you fix this? That's in your hands. Over the next year, 5, 10, 20 years, as you point out, we are going to be asking for some significant funds. We cannot hide the fact that this is going to be an expensive project, but it is going to be worth it. I won't be naive in saying we have not been the most influential city in the past. There have been other cities that have other priorities, but we, despite that, have soared. We have the National Sports Center that brings in 4 million visitors annually, more than any other sports venue in Minnesota. In 2018, this unassuming entity, owned by the state, brought in $84 million worth of economic impact. The Schwann's USA Cup alone bringing in $25 million in economic impact to this region. As a city, we are the largest in Anoka County and the 12th largest in the state. And based on the 2010 census, we are the fastest growing suburb. Also in 2018, we had the fourth highest overall residential units permitted in the Minneapolis suburbs. This summer, we will be hosting the 3M Open. And unlike the Super Bowl, this event is guaranteed to happen year after year for the next 7 years at a minimum. With it, we'll bring 150,000 spectators to a week-long event. It'll be televised in over 225 countries, and it will have an estimated economic impact of $50 million to the area. And they are, as the PGA, they are the largest contributor to local nonprofits and charities, more than any other national sports team combined. We also have a natural treasure of the Blaine Wetland Sanctuary, in which academics, educators, students, nature enthusiasts, and residents come to study and enjoy the nature that we have here as well. And I haven't even begun to mention our exceptional schools, businesses, and residents that call Blaine home. In conclusion, it's time. Time that you looked at us. Time that you paid attention to us and see what I have the privilege of seeing every single day and the treasure that the city is to this community. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that testimony. Do members have any questions or comments? Yes, Representative Heinrich.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Ms. Jepson, for coming out today. If I could shift gears a little bit, I think you did a great job talking about the city of Blaine and the transportation needs, but I just wanted to thank you for what you do in the city of Anoka at Stepping Stone, and to ask you how many beds do you have there, and generally, if you could give a little bit of a makeup of the people that are coming through there, and maybe just a little bit of what you do to help them out.
Wow, thank you. Thank you, Representative, for the opportunity.
Councilmember.
So, Stepping Stone Emergency Housing is the only homeless shelter for single adults in those five counties. We have 66 beds. We are at capacity 100% of the time. And like I said, we have a very extensive waiting list. We go above and beyond your stereotypical homeless shelter. We are opened and staffed and accessed for any resident 24/7, 365. We provide all basic needs that a person could want. And yes, that is a handout, but that's a compassionate handout in order to remove the immediate survival from an individual's brain capacity, because if they're worrying about surviving, they are not concerned about thriving and long-term success. We provide extensive programming to assist our residents, not do the work for them, to assist our residents in resolving their homelessness long-term, once and for all.
Thank you. Thank you for the question.
Thank you, sir.
Really appreciate your testimony and your work in the community.
Thank you.
Our next testifier is another council member from Blaine, Jess Robertson.
Good morning.
Welcome to the committee.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I'll preface by saying I understand you're not hearing things that you haven't heard before, and I acknowledge that. I felt compelled to come here today as a 20-year Blaine resident and now an elected official. I think it's important when these opportunities are given to us that we express the frustrations of the people we represent. So thank you for that. And on another note, as you can see, my kids put paper in the printer, so this is crooked. So if I read my prepared statements and you're like, hey, can she read? She can, just not slanted reading. So on that note, good morning, Mr. Chairman. Are we still morning? We're still morning. Good morning in committee. Thank you for coming here and for giving us a platform and for coming here to Blaine to, you know, really acknowledge the challenges that we have with infrastructure. My name is Jess Robertson. I am a lifelong resident of Anoka County, and I've spent the last 20 years as a Blaine resident. For the last 37 years, my family has owned and operated a business in Ham Lake. I've been an engaged member of the business community and the community at large, serving with Lori Higgins in the North Metro Chamber as a board member for 7 years, and most recently becoming the newest city council member here in the city of Blaine and being appointed to the MnDOT Advisory Committee. The largest challenge that faces our city is its infrastructure, particularly its transportation infrastructure. With our commercial growth and residential boom, our roads simply cannot support the amount of commuters that use Highway 65 on a daily basis. It is estimated that Highway 65, with its stoplights and challenging intersections, moves more traffic during the morning and afternoon hours than the Interstate 35W and 35E. And that's insane. That's absolutely insane. Blaine is one of the fastest growing cities in the state of Minnesota, and for far too long, the need here has really been neglected for larger, sexier projects in the southern metro. And I get it. Anoka County has a perception problem. I know many to the south here think that we all wear flannel shirts, that we drive tractors, that we sit on our porches with shotguns and moonshine, and quite frankly, that's just not the case.
Blaine is vibrant and it's growing. Take, for example, the National Sports Center. It's the largest outdoor sporting facility in North America. We're not even talking the state of Minnesota, in North America. Annually, it sees thousands upon thousands of visitors from around the world, and I can only assume and more than likely guarantee that constituents from each of your legislative areas use our facility here in the city of Blaine as well. We're soon to become the home to one of only 48 PGA Tour locations. Drawing national and international attention has an unprecedented benefit to the economic impact of our city, but it also draws unwanted attention to the poor condition of our infrastructure. In addition to these massive events, we're home to 65,000 residents, and we host companies like Aveda and Infinite Campus, whom provide hundreds and hundreds of jobs. We are a state asset here in Blaine, and we need these road improvements, preferably yesterday. During the 2018 campaign season, I did knock on hundreds of doors like many other candidates because I needed to know as an elected official, what can I do to better serve our community? 9 out of 10 residents that I spoke with, their biggest gripe is the state of our roads. It's specifically here in Blaine, the aging roads and massive backups are pushing drivers to accessing side streets, causing safety and traffic issues for, you know, residents not even specifically on Highway 65. And if, regarding Highway 65 and 109th, those that live in Blaine know that you avoid that road at all costs. And if you have to travel it, you have to give yourself an extra 10 to 15 minutes travel time. And I know Chief Padani spoke to the dangerous nature of that intersection. For me as a mom, my teenage drivers aren't allowed to travel that route, go a different way. And that's the way they take to school every day. And I tell them, too bad. You just can't. It's too dangerous. As a candidate, I ran on a platform that government should not be hard. And I truly believe that it shouldn't be. Highway 65 and 109th has become a game of whose problem is it? The city's hands are tied, so we look to the county for help with the 109th, and the county says, hey, it's not our road. You got to go to the state. The state operates and maintains Highway 65. And the state says, well, before we do anything, we need to get to MnDOT, and then we need some contractors. And while we're at it, let's stop at Home Depot and buy a whole bunch of red tape. And then let's spend nearly $1 million on a study that we've already done once that netted in zero results. Providing and maintaining infrastructure is one of the most basic core functions of state and local governments. This is where we need to be investing. The job creators and the residents along this corridor are frustrated, and we need the state to invest in the North Metro. This is a state highway. Here in Blaine, we're seeking real solutions, not reduced conflict intersections, not resurfacing, not elongating turn lanes, real solutions that are going to require real dollars. It's estimated that Blaine is going to max out at nearly 90,000 residents. 90,000 people. Those are people working here, living here, supporting businesses here, and commuting here on a daily basis. Our growth and potential will certainly be stifled if we do not receive the funding that we so desperately need and have so desperately been waiting for. I appreciate your time today. Truly, I appreciate you guys came out to the city of Blaine to hear us. So thank you so very much.
Thank you very much, Councilmember Robertson. Representative Torkelson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Councilmember Robertson. You point out some of the regional issues that often get tied up with transportation and the competition for transportation funding. But as a farmer from southern Minnesota, I'd prefer you use a different example than tractor driving because, I drive a tractor.
Truck driving, we all drive four-wheel drive trucks.
I drive trucks, too,
okay.
By the way.
Okay.
we all have our levels of sophistication. If you want to come out to my farm and see how sophisticated my tractors are, you're welcome anytime.
Thank you. Representative Elkins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'll observe we all feel that way, the way you do, regardless of where we are in the region. I was first appointed to the South Metro's edition of the North Metro Mayors Association, the 35W Solutions Alliance, in 1997 as a Bloomington Planning Commissioner, and served on that body for over 20 years since. And after its 22 years of personal advocacy, we finally received funding to do just the first phase of the 35W 494 interchange, which is the most congested, dangerous interchange in the region. engine at this point. So we are at a point in the state where MnDOT only has enough money within a few years to just pay debt service and perform maintenance on what's already been built. So I'll ask the same question of you that colleagues have been asking of other testifiers. Does the city of Blaine have a formal policy supporting the governor's revenue increase policy for a proposal for this year to provide additional money to address projects like Highway 65?
The mayor just shot me a look like, oh boy, what is she gonna say?
Yeah.
They want to shut my mic off? I don't believe that we have an official policy regarding that. We have infrastructure challenges here, too. For the last 2 months, we've been working with Public Works and city staff to try to figure out how we can afford our own road projects. Mm-hmm. You know, Blaine, as small as it is compared to the state, we have 250 miles of streets that we have to maintain. So we just had to change our assessment policy, you know, begrudgingly so. We don't want to tax people above and beyond what they're already, you know, responsible for being taxed for. Specific to the governor's proposal, I don't think a gas tax is, I personally am not a fan of it. I don't speak for the city. I will put that disclaimer in there. I don't speak for the city. And as, you know, someone who runs a business that is in the automotive industry, I already pay, happy to pay, I guess, regardless if I want to or not, your automotive parts tax. And so I believe, and I'm not an in-depth expert on your budgeting, but the budget is there for infrastructure. And that budget that's allocated for infrastructure needs to be spent on infrastructure, not other side projects, not other, you know, new ideas. That's what it needs to be spent on. The money's there. It needs to be spent. And we really would like a spotlight here. But I don't think a gas tax is the answer. For someone who has kids with multiple vehicles, that's crazy.
Okay, members, I'd like to move on to Representative Weston. I think, you know, our purpose here is a hearing, so we want to hear what people have to say. I think, you know, questions are certainly welcome, but at this point, I think our job here is to listen and to make sure that we can get everybody who wants to testify to testify. So, Representative West.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, we didn't coordinate at all, and well, like I said about Blaine, residents feel ignored when it comes to transportation needs. And I'm assuming we're going to hear that over and over again. But I just want to make that clear, as we're constantly overlooked, is that at least what Blaine residents feel. And Blaine takes $0 in local government aid, which I think is also relevant considering we don't ask for a lot, we don't get a lot, but we do need Highway 65 to be rebuilt.
Thank you for that. Okay, we just have a couple more testifiers. We have Mary McComber. Is Mary still here? Mayor, welcome.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'm Mary McComber. I'm the mayor of Oak Park Heights. I'm also the president of the Minnesota Association of Small Cities and president of Minnesota Mayors Association, and also have a seat as a member of the League of Minnesota Cities Board of Directors. Mm-hmm. I'm here, though, mostly today to talk to you about the bills that are out for small cities assistance funding and also for the local cost share through MnDOT. As most of you know, the city of Oak Park Heights, over the last 51 years, as I'm feeling everybody's pain back here, about getting the St. Croix River Crossing Bridge built, which went through my city to Wisconsin. It was extremely expensive, and our local cost share was substantial. Since then, we still have other projects that we need to do. Next year, we have one that is $2.1 million to correct a safety issue that was left behind with the trunk highway project with the bridge, which obviously our taxpayers are going to have to foot a good amount of that bill. Granted, we did get $31,000 out of the Small Cities Assistance account, which has helped with many of our projects, but it's never going to be enough. But we do appreciate all of your effort for getting that established in the first place. What we'd like to see is your support for getting a sustainable source of funding for that account. It has only been there for 2 years, and then there's a break. For us to be able to project our budgets and our projects, maintenance, That $31,000 for this year in particular is probably, unfortunately, because this winter going to have to go to pothole fixing as opposed to the seal coating that it would have gone to. I would like you to just take use us as an example because of some of these projects that have been talked about here earlier, 65, University, whatever it is, some of that is going to touch some of these small cities that are going to have some type of cost share involved with that. So keep that in mind. We need a sustainable source of funding. And also with the cost shares of some of these trunk highways, or not only just the trunk highways, but counties and other infrastructure projects. Oak Park Heights is one city that we don't get MSA funds. Our city is just under 5,000. We're 4,600. But our city grows to over 30,000 during the day due to the Stillwater Area High School, the bus garage for the Stillwater Area School District, the prison, Oak Park Heights Prison. We have Anderson Windows, the power plant, and a lot of traffic coming through from Wisconsin. So the wear and tear from some of that interstate commerce of trucks coming back now across the bridge is doing wear and tear on our roads that, unfortunately, it's our local taxpayers that are going to have to pay for. So like I said, just please keep us in mind when you think of these other cities that are under 5,000. Of the 835 in the state, 710 are under 5,000. And that's a large portion of the state. And I thank you for your time.
And Mayor, I thank you. And I really do appreciate your bringing that issue up. Oftentimes, we focus on the highway user tax distribution fund and the needs of some of the larger, communities and counties, which are important. But this seems to somehow oftentimes get not as much play as it needs to be. And we've heard a couple of bills last week in St. Cloud from Representative O'Driscoll. I think there's other ideas and proposals floating around. But we do need to address this. It's something that is important. The townships have concerns sometimes that don't get addressed. So it is something we're definitely going to be looking at this session in our transportation bill. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you for your consideration.
Representative Elkins.
Yes, thank you. Mayor McCumber and I go way back. We've served together on the National League of Cities Transportation Committee. And we do have bills this year, one to help local communities provide their matches on county and state projects. And I think that we also have a bill related to small cities, cities of under 5,000 as well. So there are bills in play already.
Yes, they are. I just wanted to encourage your support.
Well, it's a good reminder, and thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for your service, too. Okay, so we have a few names, but I don't see these folks here, but I'm going to call on them. And is Sarah Wolf here? Russ Adams, Joshua Hodek, Ashley Lotzer. I do have one additional name that came to us today, and I'd like to call on him. Is Frank Loeffler still here?
Yep.
Okay. And I believe Frank is our last testifier. So, oh, one more. Okay. I'm sorry, Representative West.
I had a couple people contact me with John House CC'd that I know are in the audience today.
Oh, okay.
So I believe there are a couple more that
okay.
just
they
didn't
just
get on the list.
All right. That,
just FYI.
It's the end of the list, but we'll go for a few more minutes if people want to testify. But please, if we can keep it brief, Mr. Loeffler, we have a Representative Loeffler, so.
Yeah, I know, but we're not related because we've already gone through that. Good morning. My name is Frank Loeffler. I'm a 42-year member of the Labor's Union, and I retired as a business agent. I was the first training director the Labor's ever had, and in the first 26 years of my career, I worked under what we call our highway heavy agreement. You had our AGC contractors here that were highway heavy contractors. And what I want to address today is funding for infrastructure. I'm sure everybody in this room remembers where they were on August 1st, 2007. That's when the 35W bridge collapsed in the Mississippi River, which basically started a national infrastructure emergency. A year later, in the midst of near economic collapse and a presidential election to replace him, President George W. Bush had to go to a Democratic Congress and request funding because the National Highway Trust Fund was nearly broke. And I'm not partisan when I bring this stuff up. I'm just putting out facts. The Obama administration was roundly criticized for the Recovery Act money that they put into infrastructure, quote-unquote, shovel-ready projects. I know two of those projects near me on the east side of the cities, the Highway 14 bridge over 35E, which is close to our training center, back in 2009, 2010. And then another one that took me completely by surprise was the Rice Street Bridge project over 36, which was in dire need of some type of replacement because of the traffic flow. Both projects have generated a lot of development. I think that's one of the things we like to talk about when we talk about infrastructure projects, is the fact that improved infrastructure brings along more development, just like on our light rail lines we see. And Frank Kornstein and I are very familiar with each other because he used to come to some of the open houses that my then state representative, Jason Isaacson, who's now my state senator, used to have at the Vadnais Heights City Hall. So I know Frank likes trains, and when I ran into him this morning downstairs, I said, Frank Kornstein likes trains, and the laborers like trains, and Frank Loeffler likes trains, just because we've got to do something about our infrastructure overcrowding. So basically what I'm looking at is, and I avail myself of the programs that the state puts out, your legislators and Capitol Report, which I think are very good informational shows for people to watch. In fact, I did one of these infrastructure things because I represent my local at the AFL-CIO Retirees Council. So I kind of did this because I cover state legislative issues. So I kind of did this last month at our retirees meeting because these are important issues. We need to fund our transportation, but we're always lacking funds. One of the things that came up after the election, and the laborers supported the Walz-Flanagan ticket. And we know that Tim Walz has proposed a gas fee increase, and that's where I'm going to put it right now. And I saw a show that was Capitol Report, very good program, and first they brought on Dave Senjum, who's from southern Minnesota. And in the past, the laborers have supported Senator Senjum because he is a big infrastructure proponent, and in particular the project for Highway 14 from Rochester to Mankato, which I liken to 35, Wisconsin 35 from Hudson to Superior, Wisconsin, which I'm familiar with, which Highway 14 needed to be rebuilt. His contention was that we didn't need a gas tax increase because we're all going electric. And they don't have the two senators that come on. They're not face-to-face. What they do is they come on, Shannon Larkey interviews them. So the next senator to come up was Senator Dibble from Minneapolis. And Senator Dibble, he didn't say, you know, that's a lot of crap, but he said, you know what, Senator Senjum's wrong because we're going to be driving, yes, we're going to electric, but we're going to be driving gasoline vehicles for quite a long time, probably 20, 30, 40 years into the future. I mean, that's just the facts. So this is the discussion. Now, on your legislators program, House Speaker Melissa Hortman said, this is the ultimate user's fee. And remember, driving is not a right, it's a privilege. As is evidenced when you do something like driving drunk, the state has the right to remove your license. But the issue I'm getting at is we have to find some type of short-term, yes, we're going to go to electric. But until that time, we have to find some way of revenue recovery. And I told Frank when I ran into him downstairs, I said, usually what I do with this is I have a riddle that I put out to people, and it's called, when is a tax not a tax? When it's a fee. And if you remember back in 1988 at the reconstruction of Highway 12, I worked on that project. We have what we call the SANE lane, Minnesota's first attempt at traffic congestion control. Sometime during the Pawlenty administration, they said, you know what, here's what we're going to do. We're going to change it to an expressway, and we're going to charge you a fee, not a tax, but a fee, okay? I don't know what the difference is, but I guess in some political philosophies, if you can buy your right or your privilege to drive on a certain road, then it's okay.
Mr. Loeffler, if you could wrap
I'm getting it. So what I want to put at is, first of all, let's stop calling it a tax. As Melissa Hortman said, it's a legitimate user's fee. And I think that's one of the things that we have to get around. But for the interim, we have to find some way to fund our roads and bridges because, obviously, from all the testimony before mine today, there are a lot of people with a lot of needs, and we have to find some way to fund it. and it's not going to, it's, and we just found out yesterday that, gee, the surplus is down $500 million. So here we go. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Offler. So we have three more testifiers, and then we will wrap up. And again, if folks can keep it brief, Michael Croyan. Croyan?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Welcome to the committee. Thank you so much.
Committee members, thank you.
I might have mispronounced your name, so if you could state it for the record.
Sure. My name is Michael Croon. It's Dutch.
Croon. Okay.
And I'd like to just thank you for coming up to Blaine, first of all, and for the opportunity to testify. I've lived in Blaine for 17 years. I also serve on the Spring Lake Park School Board. And for those of you that aren't familiar with that district, we're in it right now, even though we're in the city of Blaine. It's northern Fridley, city of Spring Lake Park, large parts of southern Blaine, and then on this side of 65, all the neighborhoods around here. And it's great to see all three of our district's representatives on this committee. That's great. But I have to give the disclaimer that I'm also not speaking on behalf of the district. I'm here as a private citizen. But I thought that was great. I'm a real estate lawyer by trade, so feel free to pepper me with questions and interrupt me. I'll probably do a better job. I'm going to steer the conversation back to 65 and hopefully give you something you haven't heard or considered yet. You've heard about the population growth, the projected growth. Obviously, Highway 65 just hasn't kept up with that. And the problems are just going to get worse if action isn't taken. The congestion has been well documented, but it's also, I want to emphasize that it's very difficult to get anywhere in this city without traversing Highway 65. And so those two factors put together make it a very serious quality of life issue. I believe interchanges and overpasses are required and not Band-Aid fixes. That's been talked about. It was also said that it services about as many vehicles as 35W in the same stretch a couple miles over with traffic lights every few blocks. And it's not just congested during rush hour. I want to make that clear. Weekends are a near constant state of rush hour, not only on Highway 65 but on the frontage roads, which severely impacts residents, businesses, and visitors. And I'm sure every single one of you on the committee has constituents that has been affected by Highway 65 congestion at the National Sports Center. It's also very dangerous, which is particularly concerning because it's regularly used by school buses and high school students going to and from school. The way our district is situated, five of our six school buildings have geographical footprints that require students to traverse Highway 65 in one way or another to get to school. And so students and parents really have no choice but to use Highway 65 to get to school, to get to their athletic practices, to get to their after-school activities. And I can't tell you how many parents have talked to me about the headaches and planning ahead and being late and trying to navigate Highway 65. In Spring Lake Park, our middle school and our high school are on the other side of 65. So for those residents that live here in this part of the district, we have to get across that somehow, and often during rush hour time. So that's very problematic. So, you know, Highway 65 in Blaine, anyway, is one of the few political issues that truly does bring everybody together, which is really hard to do these days. People in Blaine are just desperate for action on Highway 65. There's no other way to put it. And so I just want to use my final moments here to just remind the committee that I'm sure you're aware, but state highway funding is a core function of state government, and it's actually enshrined into our Constitution. Everyone relies on our highways every single day, even if you don't own a car or don't purchase gas. Overhauling Highway 65 in Blaine is exactly the type of project that compels state funding. It's been neglected long enough, and I ask that you help finally make it happen. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Queen. So two more folks, and I especially appreciate them stepping up because they're residents of Blaine, and that's why we're here, to hear from the residents. Rob Dorr?
Yes, Mr. Chair, Dorr.
Yes.
Some confused looks up there. So just to be clear, I am testifying as a resident of Blaine. I know some of you know me from the Capitol for other reasons, but I'm speaking only as a resident of Blaine in this particular instance. So I thank you all for coming up here. It's really great to see you guys in my city here. I apologize for being underdressed. I wasn't planning on speaking. And just to kind of belabor the point that my police chief made earlier, I live 2 miles away. On the other side of 65, it would take me at least 20 minutes on a good day to get there and back. And in this weather, it would have taken probably longer. So I didn't know if I had time to run home and change or not before I was called up. But that gives you kind of an idea of our mentality here when we're dealing with this. And if you don't believe me, I'll give you my address later. You can put it into Google Maps, and it'll tell you the same thing. I appreciate my council members, actually both of my council members for my ward, being well represented today. They spoke kind of about the broader context of the needs of Blaine. I wanted to bring it a little bit back more to Representative West, who's my representative as well, to a specific bill, 1597. This overpass on 109th is desperately needed. It's desperately needed. I've been rear-ended twice on this intersection within the past 3 months. From drivers who were more eager to run a yellow or red light than I was at that intersection. And Chair Hornstein, I think you referenced your self-awareness of your own road rage. I'm not sure of many of our...
I'm the one that causes it. Because
you caused the road rage.
I'm the one driving 45 miles an hour. I think Kirk Dowd has a bill.
I think you and I, sir, are very similar in those veins where I'm not going to zoom through a yellow light because I don't necessarily trust the oncoming traffic.
Yeah.
But there are those individuals who want to make that light, and I've been rear-ended twice by them within the last year. So I have certainly have out-of-pocket costs from copays and all sorts of things like that. But beyond that, I'm a first responder. I volunteer with several different community service disaster relief organizations. I keep a fully stocked EMT kit in the back of my car. And I've pulled over to dozens in my years of living in Blaine, dozens of just minor fender benders just to make sure that everybody was okay. And luckily enough, I haven't had to see anybody who needed serious medical help. But I'm hoping with this kind of an overpass and future focus on the roads of Blaine that'll never be the case. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Thank you for coming. Appreciate your comments. And our last testifier is Katie, and I'm not going to try to pronounce your name, but you will pronounce it for the record.
Well, hello, and thank you for coming to our city of Blaine. My name is Katie Tokermagian. I am a 12-year resident of Blaine. I live about a mile from here, less than a mile from here, just off of 109th. I was trying to count how many times I've crossed over 65 in the past year, and I cannot count on one hand how many times I've gone out of my way to get across 65 on 109th. We do whatever we can to avoid that. We travel south on 35W to go back around just to avoid that interchange. I'm also a small business owner. I actually own a transportation design engineering firm, so highways are near and dear to my heart. And as my business was growing and we were looking for moving out of the house and into an office, I would want to stay in my city and to stay in Blaine. But when I look at attracting and retaining employees, the employees that I was looking at hiring and the employees I already had said they would quit if they had to commute in and out of Blaine. So we brought our offices down to St. Paul. So those are just 2 points I'd like to make about the impact to me as a resident, but also the impact to Blaine as a home for businesses. And the only thing I would offer in my closing remarks is I would invite you when you leave today, instead of looking at the shortest route on Google Maps, to make a left onto 109th and to then try to make a left onto 65. Enough said.
Thank you very much. So with that, I don't see anyone else on the list. Anyone else in the audience is... No one's raising their hand here, so we are going to adjourn just very briefly. But before we do, I will call on Representative Torkelson, but I wanted to make sure that I want to thank that we really have a North Metro delegation. I mean, we have so many folks on our committee from this area. I really do refer to it as a delegation. So. Representative Nelson, Representative Runbeck, Representative Bernardi, Representative West, Representative Cagle, Representative Heinrich, thank you for representing this area for, you know, being such warm and hosts here and presenting your bills. And we've learned a lot. And so I do really appreciate, you know, your involvement in today. Representative Torkelson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for your coordination of this event. And congratulations to my fellow committee members who represent this wonderful part of the state. And thank you to all the participants and testifiers today for educating us on the needs in this particular area. I just would remind everyone that there are similar needs, not identical, but similar needs all across the state. And resources, of course, are always limited. We do our best with the help of the Department of Transportation to allocate those resources appropriately. But advocacy is always helpful, so we appreciate hearing from you. The only other thing I'd say is, members, I don't think we're out here to debate the governor's budget. I chose not to respond to some of your questions that were pointed questions asked to testifiers. We could spend a lot of time doing that. You asked testifiers if they supported more revenue, and I think all of us support more revenue for transportation. That's why we're interested in transportation. I would ask them if they support the governor taking $500 million out of the transportation budget.
Representative Elkins, we are going to adjourn. We will have plenty of time. I mean, again, my final comments are to say that, you know, we do, I think there's a lot of commonality. One of the things that I enjoy so much about chairing this committee is that we have a great bipartisan group here. And on most issues, I mean, it is a civil group. We are very, engaged with each other even when we disagree. But what we have heard today is absolutely critically important. We were in St. Cloud last week. We heard about issues there in greater Minnesota and a regional center. We were in Minneapolis the other night. Here we'll be, we have a couple more of these hearings. And then we're going to be discussing how do we best address the issue of revenue. And so that we are in agreement about needs. And that's something that we haven't had before, both parties. And so really the question comes down to how do we fund this? And so you got a little bit of a preview here with this exchange. But we will be working through these issues over the next 4 to 6 weeks. We will be marking up a bill towards the end of March, and we would invite you to communicate through your state representatives through testimony to this committee directly, conversations. We want to have that statewide conversation about how do we best fund our roads, bridges, transit, bike, pedestrian infrastructure. We all agree it's a priority. We all agree it's important. So the question comes down to how do we do this? And we invite you into that conversation, and you participated in that conversation today. And so then, in April, end of April, we'll have a bill on the floor. And that will be discussed, and we will have a vigorous debate there. And then towards the end of session, there will be negotiations very likely to come up with some kind of a transportation bill that really borrows from a number of ideas that we've heard. So that's the process moving forward. You have played an integral role in that process by testifying. I've personally learned a lot. I especially appreciate the local elected officials that have shown up today, people from the business community. That input is so valuable to us. And so from all of us to you, thank you. Have a great and safe weekend, particularly this afternoon and evening with the weather coming in. And with that, I will adjourn our meeting.